So yeah, I came to the conclusion that I watched too many movies. And
I
the
saw that in
way.
the title. I'm like, what's up with that? Did you get
Yeah.
like Netflix stuck or something?
Well, no. We just moved, what was it, last Friday to this new place. We're in a house now and all that. And like I was saying earlier before we went on air, we got the two car garage and all that. And so Friday we moved in and we got the movers helping us and they were moving all this shit in. So we're, putting everything where we need to put it. And, I'm in the garage and I look and there's one of them strings hanging down and I look up. I was like, oh shit, we got a fucking attic. I'm a person who I grew up in apartments. Like my whole fucking, I
I was
think
thinking tampons for a second. Okay, but the attic stuff, yeah, it's not a known thing here in the West.
Yeah, and especially I grew up
Makes
in
sense.
apartments. The first house I ever lived in was, I think I was like 24, 25, and we rented a house, so that was the first time I ever lived in a house. So all this house shit is brand new to me. But so I see the string, and I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, it's a fucking attic. So I pull the thing, and then, the stairs is there, and my first initial reaction is, yo, I gotta go up there. But then I thought, hold up, we just moved into a new house. Isn't this how every fucking scary movie starts? There's a fucking attic with some shit in it. And so I was
And
like,
bam, you're the black guy going, the nigga,
I'm
you
the
going
black guy. I'm not going to make it past the credits. We just moved in.
down.
I'm not making it past the credits. So I waited and we got everything done and all the stuff moved in. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is gonna bug me. I'm like, I gotta look in the attic. And I was telling Skips, I was like, yo, because I just watched that movie Sinister, like
Oh,
I think like
God.
3 months
That's
ago.
badass. I saw
Yeah,
two.
that's a dope ass
Or three
motherfucking movie.
cities.
And so remember he went into the attic and he found the box with the VH tapes and all or the whatever the film rolls with the movies and all that shit. So finally, everything settled down. We got the boys down. I'm like, yo, I gotta find out what the fuck is in that attic. So I open the thing and I climb up there and I got my phone. I'm flashing my phone around. I'm like, better not be a box in here. I'm looking around. Sure enough, there's a fucking box up there.
Oh.
And it's off in the distance, and I'm like, yo, fuck that box. I'm not opening it because then I'm gonna unleash the fucking devil beast demon thing that's gonna haunt us for the rest of the time here.
This is why you got to give your firstborn. You should have sent Kai up there and be like, hey,
Hey man, look up
don't
there, man.
touch
What's
that
going
box.
on?
Just tap it real fast. Tap it three times to be safe.
3 times be safe. But then I'm getting ready to come down, and this is no bullshit. I get ready to come down, and I find this one of those have you seen me things up in the top attic, and I'm like,
Oh, God, the kid looks mad scary looking, too.
yo, no bullshit. Y'all can see from the dust and shit that's on here.
They were lying to him.
Yeah, so might be inside of a movie. I don't know, but so far I've
Sure,
made it
yeah.
past the first week, but I am home alone for the next few days. So if y'all don't hear from me again, it's this little demon deaf girl right here. She came to find me, so find that bitch and you'll find me. I just want to let y'all know that.
She looks cute. I wonder if she's of age now.
Yo, she was born in what year is this? Yeah, she was born in 82. Yeah, she of age.
Legal, but
She
damn.
legal.
Lord
She
knows, I love them pale demon skin bitches.
only 30 pounds though. Hopefully she put some weight on. I'm just saying. I'm just
Right.
saying.
I like them to believe me. If they believe me, they
Lady.
won't fight me over the last slice of pizza.
Ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between, welcome to the IBHM podcast. I am your host, Arizona Verse. With me, my dude and co-host, Soul Papo.
Hello there.
I'm black. He's Mexican.
They
And
say.
now that that is out of the way, welcome to our motherfucking show. It is a podcast about nothing in particular. We got a lot of shit to talk, but before any of all of that, if you want to chime in, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. You can find us on all of your social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube. Just add IBHM Podcast in an appropriate spot. If you don't want to do any of that, head over to our website, ibhmpodcast.com or imblackhesmexican.com, and you can find all of our social media links there. Now, if you want to hit me up, my main source of social media fuckery is Tumblr. You can find me at a different state of black.tumblr. soulpopo.com. If you want to holler at my dude, Soul Popo, his main source of social media fuckery is
soulpopo.tumblr.com. Tumblr. I like seeing some Tumblr. Is it soulpopo.tumblr.com? I think that's what it is.
That's what it be like.
That's what it be like. Where we get real emotional. Where we have no shame. Where you will see me post Bible verses, but also gifs of motherfuckers fucking bitches doggy style. There's no shame whatsoever. You can tell somebody by their likes and that motherfucker. Ain't no fakeness on that shit. People
ain't
can
no
be
fake
all day on Facebook and think that they're talking subliminally, trying to look real sophisticated. Bitch, you're lying.
You're lying.
Tell them that don't lie. Unless you're truly psychotic and you strategically put likes, which I have been known to do, but after so long, you can tell when I gave up and all this nigga dirty as hell. Look at that.
What is he looking at?
He likes this. Psalms and Proverbs. This guy's a weirdo. But it's real though.
That's why the saying goes, if you know somebody on Facebook, you know their government name. But if you know them on Tumblr, you know who they really are.
Or
just putting that out there. We got a couple of shout outs this week. A couple of Facebook, new Facebook lights. Want to give a real quick shout out to Sting and Cameron Booker, who are new Facebook likes. And I also wanted to give a special shout out.
Like a WWE wrestlers.
Yo, he is part of the East Coast cast. I just used the name Sting because I don't know how to pronounce his full name, so I'm just shortening it up and just called her brother Sting. And a shout out to my big homie, my bro T, and also a former dedication Nyla, who both today is their birthday. So quick shout out to both of y'all. Yes, sir.
Holla at me, Nyla, senor.
And then the only other shout out, or actually I guess it's two more shout outs. One real quick shout out is we are expanding the website, and we're in the process of starting a community blog where we're going to have some editors, some bloggers come in and just kind of blog away whatever they feel like, do some music reviews, some movie reviews, and we're going to talk some personal shit, some political shit. Just basically in the process of trying to get a bunch of different people involved, because, you know, it's the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast, so you got a black dude, you got a Mexican dude, you got our opinions, but we want the people to be able to chime in and, you know, get their opinions. So we got a couple people who have signed up already. We were looking at like 6 to 7 new bloggers already from a wide variety of races, colors, and we're just trying to get a bunch of different people and continue to bring this realness to y'all through our multimedia site.
We need some gays, we need some whites, and I'm sure some handicaps as well.
A little bit of everything. We need them all. And then the last shout out, real quick, we got some fan mail this week, and they wanted us to talk about something in particular, so I said I was going to read the email online. I won't give away their name, but you know who you are, so shout out, Miss Lovely Lady. I'm just saying, and you know, I'm not flirting, I'm just, you know.
I wish I knew what was up with this. Man, I miss this. This is on Facebook. I need to get back on Facebook.
No. She emailed us at the IBHM podcast email. And she says, hey, guys, I've been listening to you. You guys are straight up. I really enjoy it. I was wondering if you guys have ever spoke about I'm getting tongue-tied. Psychiatry. I just watched a documentary on it, so I'm all into it right now. I just thought it would be a good topic for you guys to talk about if you haven't already. And so I wanted to give her a shout-out and say, you know, thanks for sending in a topic that you wanted to hear us talk about. And
Lord knows psychiatric health, but I don't think we would actually discuss those sort of things, have we?
Yeah, I don't think it's fully come up, but I do have some opinions about the whole mental health awareness, especially, I've got to call out my minority people. Minorities don't like dealing with mental health things, unfortunately, and Papo is turning all kinds of weird colors. Did the culture guys go to your place? I showed you the picture, and we in the fucking ring now. She coming to find your ass now.
I'm trying to not show this goddamn glare in my five head.
But But no, yeah, so I do think mental health is a very important thing within America that just a lot of people don't fucking deal with. And a lot of it just comes from day-to-day stress, honestly. The human, when you really break it down from a biological, scientific standpoint, man has been on Earth for millions upon millions of years. And only over the course of the past few decades, not even 100 years yet, have we been working, you know, constantly 8-hour shifts with driving in rush hour traffic for 2 hours, spending 14-15 hours out of the day just stressed over work and working at jobs that we don't fucking like, and just all this. And a lot of that compounds into stress and turns into mental health issues. And there's also a lot of shit that happens with just fucking chemically, like how you're born. Like I talked about it a few some episodes ago when your boy finally got diagnosed at the doctor of having social anxieties and some clinic depression, and they put me on some medications and all that. And a lot of it just came down to, I knew I eventually was going to have to deal with some of this shit because my mom is crazy. My mom's been on medication my entire life, and even when she was pregnant with me, they had her on some type of medication. And I'm pretty sure that's the reason why I got the synesthesia and all this other crazy neurological shit going on. I'm pretty sure it comes from that fucking medication they had my mom on while she was pregnant with me. But anyway, I knew that eventually that was going to be something I was going to have to deal with as I got older in life. And sure enough, by the time I hit 30, I was like, yo, I got to find and talk to the doctor. Yo, something's wrong up there. I need a little help. But I think a lot of minorities, unfortunately, don't look into mental health and trying to get shit situated. And unfortunately, a lot of it comes down to a lot of minorities, they'll go to the church and they'll pray on it and all that, but then they won't physically do anything themselves to make themselves better. And I think that's one of the major issues we really, as in, once again, especially as minorities, we need to figure the shit out.
I think a lot of that is due in part to not wanting to accept it too. I mean, yes. Kind of like the hardest part of accepting that you have a problem. Cause then once you accept it, then it comes down to the point, okay, well then how the fuck are we gonna solve this? How are we gonna fix it? And I think a lot of that just, it brings too much shame and too much attention. And that's why we tend to fucking, distract ourselves in meaningless, trivial shit, because it's,
exactly,
it's taking us out of the fucking the realm of reality. And reality is a fucking bummer, to be honest. Unless you're busting it or not, reality sucks.
Yo, and that is so real, cause like the whole thing with, people talking about, us as humans, you know, we got the whole big debate going on right now about legalizing drugs and legalizing marijuana and all these different things. And it's funny because as time progresses and we're doing more and more studies, we recently found out that dolphins are, you know, chewing on that puffer fish, passing it around, getting high off of it. Recently found out that, cheetahs in South America, chew on this certain type of branch that, has psychedelic, properties to it. And so cheetahs out there in the jungle are taking hallucinogenic. And then you got monkeys in various places across the earth. Like, people, animals get high. Like, reality is a motherfucker, and we all have to find ways to get through the day, including even the animal world. And so what's in it, again, it goes back to mental health. And like I had brought up the psychiatry Wikipedia page, and I know there one of the things that stood out to me is the whole mental illness myth. And it was just talking about a couple different things on there about since the 1960s, there's been a lot of challenges of the concept of mental illness itself. A lot of people think that's it's essentially not real, in the same sense of how cancer is real. And they think a lot of different things other than like Alzheimer's disease and other things, that it's just shit that's in people's heads. But the question I always ask is, when something is real, it's real. You know, it's kind of the same thing with people who claim that they were abducted by aliens. Like, they had this traumatic experience. I felt like I got abducted by aliens. And even if you think that it's BS, that person feel as if they actually went through that, and so it did do something chemically to them. So regardless of if it was real in a physical sense or real in a mental sense, it is still real and it still affects people. So,
okay.
I'm just saying. So people, go to your doctors, figure out what the fuck is wrong with you. And I'm not even necessarily saying that, hey, y'all need to go out and pop pills, because I actually, that's another little small story. I fucked around and like I said, we moved on Friday, and the Paxil that they have me on, I'm to take it once every night, you know, an hour or so before I go to bed, and I'm not supposed to miss any doses, dosages, and you're not supposed to abruptly get off of it and so on and so forth. And I found out why this week. We fucking, once again, moved on Friday, and I have, my phone broke that same day that we moved, and my phone had my little timer on there that would remind me every night to, you know, pop my pill. And, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at work is coming by, and I'm just fucking exhausted all week long, and all these people I'm dealing with, is driving me nuts. I'm just like fucking buzzing in my head. I don't know what the fuck is going on. And like Wednesday, I've drunk like a 24 hour or a 24 ounce Red Bull. I had like a 5 hour energy, and I had another cup of coffee, and I was like, why the fuck am I so exhausted? I'm like, something is going on. And I realized I hadn't took that fucking Paxil over the course of the past 5 days. And so chemically, I was all fucked up and all off in my head. So, I think what I'm gonna actually end up doing is, I'm gonna go to a medical marijuana doctor. I'm gonna see if for my depression and my anxiety issues, if I could switch off of this chemical bullshit and go with the real all natural green substances to get my
blood clot time.
Blood clot.
But another thing too, that really gets me down, and I mean, shouts out to the rappers who glorify, you know, getting some head from a bitch that's on some Xannies, but yeah. Which, you know what I'm saying, who won't say no to some head, you know, Bill Clinton, or your president couldn't say no to some head. But it really does fuck with you, with your psyche, because not only do we, because we overindulge, and then we fucking develop, what is it called, that, fuck, I'm forgetting the word, a dependency on shit?
Yeah.
And I know, especially, I mean, I think we're all emotionally fucked, but especially, I have more fear for the women, because obviously, you know what I'm saying, sometimes we wear our, I mean, anybody can be over emotional. I'm an emotional cat, you know what I'm saying? I know sometimes I'll block it over with my sense of comedy and video games. But it's going, I feel bad, especially for the women who are like antidepressants, because, and they've done studies to where you actually have, like, it'll make you more of a hoe in a sense to where you'll fuck more often because you feel like that's the way to keep somebody when it comes to relationships. But then you actually won't climax, so it's like you're fucking more, you're making your, you know what I'm saying, whoring yourself, but you're not really getting any pleasure from it because you never get there. So it's like, it's an endless fuck cycle, so I mean...
And that's, once again, that's the reason why it goes back to, we really need to quit BSing Americans, and we really need to break down and get some proper studies done on marijuana and on psychedelics off of these natural things that evolved on Earth as long as we've been involved, evolving on Earth. And we focus too much on this chemical bullshit that somebody made up in a lab that's been out for 5-10 years, which we don't know the long-term, you know, effects of. Because that was the thing too, like I said, I had been jokingly talking about getting the medical marijuana card and switching over to that, because it's basically, I'm fighting the same things that that the medical side of marijuana could help with. But especially after I had those 5 fucking days of not being on that medication and just how mentally fucked up I was like, I don't want to be taking anything where if I forget to take it, I feel like this. Like, this is chemically doing something, even though it's making me feel better and helping me get through the day and deal with certain things and so on and so forth, helping me face reality and deal with the world. It also is causing some type of conflict where when I'm not taking it, now I'm having even a harder time dealing with shit. So I want to try something natural. So I did shots out to Arizona for legalizing the shit. I will be hollering at one of our local doctors soon and seeing if I can switch over to a more natural thing, because this is bullshit.
And hurry up 2015, where our legislators will finally fucking make this shit legal to where I don't got to pay $300 some odd for a goddamn license because my back hurts. Yeah. So we'll eventually follow the ways of Colorado once we see how much we will reap from it.
But yeah, and if not, we'll just fucking move to Colorado.
But I mean, mind you, to those that need it, I mean, like, and, you know what I'm saying, I guess I'll be their Bible thumper, but for those that, you know what I'm saying, need the cure, you know what I'm saying, fucking take it, yeah. That's what it is. That's what it's for. You know what I'm saying? And the wise words of, I don't know if it was Too Short or E-40, do what that pussy be like, or... do what that pussy do. I don't know, some shit. But yeah, we all need our healing.
Yeah. So speaking of somebody who needs some healing, apparently a man sued his wife for giving birth to an ugly baby.
Yo.
I thought this was BS when I first saw it. I looked around and yeah, it seemed like a legit story, but apparently a Chinese man divorced and then sued his ex-wife for giving birth to what he called an extremely ugly baby girl. Apparently initially, his name is Jay Fang, accused his wife of infidelity because he was so sure that he could never be the father of such an ugly child. When a DNA test proved that the baby was his, Fang's wife came clean on a little secret. Before they met, she had undergone $100,000 worth of cosmetic surgery in South Korea. Fang filed for divorce and then sued his wife on the grounds of false pretenses for not telling him about the plastic surgery and duping him into thinking she was beautiful. The kicker... I was hoodwinked, bamboozled. I ain't land on that ugly bitch. The ugly bitch landed on me.
And I came and I got her pregnant.
Oh! And the kicker is this motherfucker won. A judge agreed with his argument and ordered
So somewhere in the world, justice
was served. And that wife now has to pay him $120,000.
Oh, God. You know, can I say something real fast?
Do your thing.
And it's a horrible thing, man, because mind you, and it's funny because actually, I was talking with this girl about shit, and you know me, you know I get that baby fever, and I want children. I haven't found the right bitch to impregnate and you know spread seeds with like the stars and the sun, like the good Bible promised me. But sometimes, bro, and mind you, this could just be because I'm a big hater. I'm bred in Arizona, so I'm a natural. I'm a hater. The sun cooked me bad. But some people have some really fucking ugly kids, yo. Like, really hella ugly. And it's like, and you know, and I'm like, yeah. And like the biological clock baby fever motherfucker in me is like, you should like this. And then the part of me is like, but I can't lie.
Yo, some people hate to admit there are ugly fucking babies. And honestly, I think every baby when it is first born is ugly. My two boys
you ain't looking.
I think my boys are very handsome as they've grown up and, you know, their features are coming together. But even then, when babies first come out, they're not cute. Babies are so fucking ugly when they first come out and they smell funny and they're not that cute. But then as they develop, they get cuter. But unfortunately, some motherfuckers' genetics is just off and they're just some ugly motherfuckers. And it's fucked up. I'll pass it back to you in a second. This reminded me of something. I was at a Walmart one day, and there was this woman in front of me, and she was unattractive. She was real ugly and overweight, and she couldn't dress proper and so on and so forth. And I was just looking at her.
Damn, had a hit on her dressing, too. Yo, damn, we some haters.
Yo, I had to look at her, and I had to think to myself, I feel bad because this woman never had a shot at being successful in life. It's one of those things where it is kind of that saying that there's no beautiful women that ride the bus. Because it's kind of like it's something with, I don't know exactly what it is, but there's something about models and pretty people and all that. They seem to have an easier road in life. And you'll see some ugly motherfuckers and you're just like, yo, he ain't got a chance in life, yo. He gonna have a rough road because that motherfucker is ugly. It's just reality. Just reality.
That's so funny. Oh, man. But all right, another thing, kind of back to the ugly baby thing, me and this girl, when we were talking, imagine she was a little, I think she might have been a Satanist, who knows, but definitely one of the, to me, a pale-skinned beauty. Anyways, when we were talking about, you know, babies and whatnot, she's like, honestly, she's like, I'm afraid for when I have a kid, because if my kid's ugly, I want to throw him away. And as fucking shocked and appalled as I was when that bitch said that, I was like, honestly, it's either that or kill it. I mean, what's more humane? Throwing it away in the fucking dumpster, sending it through a goddamn river a la Moses?
Yeah.
You know, like, what does one do? Because, you know, that's your pride, that's your joy, that's the thing that you kind of, everybody wants that I can't pronounce the fucking word, how do I say it?
Prodigal.
It's... whatever.
We didn't go to college, y'all. So yeah,
we want a glory. But yeah. So once I guess to shorten this up, I feel the man, and I'm glad that justice was served.
That's real talk. That is real talk. Yeah, I saw you put this, and you want to take this next story. I saw you just put this one in.
Is that what you mean?
About the depressed people.
It was a funny article, and it's one of those duh things. I don't know why I'm always prone to catch it like this. And I hate statistics to this, because, I mean, really, I mean, 9 out of 10 doctors could just be the 9 out of 10 motherfuckers that you just happened to, you know, kind of gave us whatever. So statistics are bullshit, but they do say that depressed people have a 40% higher risk of heart failure. Meaning, you know what I'm saying, that vis-a-vis, those who are depressed aren't going to live long. Reading this made me even sadder and more depressed, but the silver lining is, hey, we're going to die soon, so don't trip. You're going to die a little quicker. Oh well. But yeah, I thought that was funny. And I was like, the irony of this fucking thing is gonna make those depressed people even fucking more depressed that they're not gonna live so fucking long. But then again, if you're so depressed, you probably don't wanna be living that long anyway. So exactly. Silver lining, God is good. Let's keep going now. Do you wanna jump in?
Hey, this actually reminds me of a story. I was trying to find the name of the city. I can't find it right now, but there's a very small community up in the northeast part of America. It's one of those communities where it's so small, everybody knows everybody by name and so on and so forth. But what they did was, X amount of generations ago, they stopped using currency in their city. They just got rid of currency, and everything is off of a barter system. So you grow up, you become a dentist, and so you're the dentist of the community. You don't charge anybody for anything. Then these people, they're farmers. They, you know, chop up meat and beef and all that. They give it to people. They don't charge anything. All you do is you be a productive part of society, and you get everything for free. They noticed over the course of like three generations of doing this that heart disease dropped by like 50%, and like the age of life expectancy is going up by like 10-15 years in this community. Is because they got rid of fucking money. There's a reason why they say money is the root of all evil. It is. Money is fucked up. It makes us do certain things that we normally wouldn't do because we need money. It puts us in situations. It puts us in bondage. That's the whole thing with the statement about the reason why America truly got rid of slavery is because we could have these people who are slaving and working the fields for free. Or what we can do is we can bring them on and we can tax everybody and put everybody in slave chains, because we all have to work. We all have to pay taxes. We all, to get by, you need money. So now I have you fucking enslaved because I'm putting you in this system where the only way you're going to get by is if you make money, but you got to get the money from me, and a percentage of all the money that you get, you also got to give to me. And so you need to make more money to be able to get by. It's a fucking trap. So this community up in the Northeast, they figured it out. They cut that fucking money off. That's probably the reason why I can't find this story anymore, because I found it like a couple of months ago, but the shit is like off the internet. They don't want the motherfuckers to notice. There is a better way, people. I'm just saying.
I don't want to hear it.
But
I just want to live vicariously through other people's lives. So bring on the entertainment news, please. Bring on
over to the entertainment news, my man, Black Jesus. Black Jesus is back, which leads me to believe that his album should almost be done, because this rappers and entertainers are notorious for this. The motherfuckers will disappear off the face of the earth, but they months leading into when their album comes out, these motherfuckers start popping up and talking a lot and so on and so forth. But Jay Electronica is back in the news again, as he had a rant on Twitter about thugs, the industry, the media, and the CIA. Just to read this real quick, he says, Jay Electronica is one of the most elusive MCs in the history of the culture. He pops his head up to drop verses like on Jay-Z Assisted, We Made It, or Big Sean's Control, but for the most part, he remains in the shadows. The Roc Nation rapper has reemerged again, this time on Twitter. J-Elect went on a self-described rant this morning on the social media networking site, calling out everyone for being so-called thugs to bloggers in the CIA. He says, and I don't respect no so-called thug that will kill his brother for little or nothing but submit to these crooked ass police. Your gun don't really go off, only against your own brother who is in the mud like you, coward. Thugs and goons walk past George Zimmerman every day. Why ain't he get his head bust yet? If y'all can't relate to what I'm saying, I'm not talking to you. He said, what's sad is people will fight or oppose you if you dabble in this kind of talk, but they won't fight the school for teaching the babies lies. They won't fight the banks for stealing these people's homes or the FDA for approving poison to be fed to the people. How I say it may not come out right, but you motherfuckers know what I'm saying, and those that pretend they don't are just pretenders. Everything is pretend these days. Every fucking thing. It's like people have abandoned their inner constitution for turn-up kits and social network and hype. No one is a stand-up guy anymore. Then he says, rant over. You can go back to listening to your favorite artist tell you how much you're not shit and make you feel bad for not having.
Fucking in.
Once again, Black Jesus is back. That's gospel. That was the Book of Jay right there. That is the opening verses to the Book of Jay. I'm telling y'all, 2,000 years from now, people will be like, man, Black Jesus came back, and everybody just thought he was a rapper. They just thought he was a rapper. I'm just saying.
I admittedly haven't heard much of his shit, and I think the first time I actually knew that I was listening to him, I wasn't very impressed, because it was on that, what's that track, the Control, where everybody talked about Kendrick's thing, which, mind you, by the way, Kendrick fucking blew them all out the fucking water.
God.
But then when Trav sent over the when our Philly correspondent gave that fucking link of the Hitler response to the thing, he made a reference on there about some track, and my intention was to look it up so I can fucking hear it, because the way he had said it, there's such conviction, not only because it was fucking Hitler saying, but because, you know, it was an admitted thing of how dope his work is. But I mean.
Yeah,
but the shit that you show me on this guy, I'm like, hey, he speaks good things, and fuck, he's fucking a Rothschild, right?
See, and actually, yeah, and that's coming up. And the thing with like Jay Electronica for me isn't even like I won't even call myself a fan of his music yet, because he doesn't put out enough of it for me to say that I'm a fan of his. But there's something about his aura and certain things that he's saying. Like, I could tell the brother is mad fucking educated, and not like school educated and not like street educated. I mean, like history educated. Like, this motherfucker knows his history, and it's a lot of weird shit with this dude where it just kind of is very interesting. It goes back to, he has a, I can't remember if he has a baby with Erykah Badu or if they just talk, but Erykah Badu talked about how odd it was the first time that she met him, because she said that somebody had came through with this new rapper, and she homeschools all her kids, and she was homeschooling, and the baby was crying and all that, and he walked into the house and asked to see the baby, and she didn't know the dude, but he seemed like okay dude, and she handed him the baby, and the baby like immediately stopped crying and all that, and she just said that she just kind of got swept up in this aura of like, who is this man? And like, when you follow his story, the dude is like almost 40 and he still hasn't dropped his first album, because the motherfucker has been traveling the world for the past 15 years, and he's been studying with Buddhist monks, and he's been in Dubai.
What the hell
and he's
been he's able to travel though? I mean, what the hell?
He's Black Jesus.
Yo, that's what makes me wonder, because you wonder too, like, what's up with this Jesus character? Why the hell is why do niggas like him so much? Why do they feed him and let him into their houses?
See, and the question is that I always pose, because, you know, Christians always say that Jesus Christ is going to come back one day. And when he does come back, we're not going to know exactly that, oh, hey, that's Jesus. That's who we've been waiting on. Because just like when Jesus was around, nobody knew that was fucking Jesus. Everybody just thought he was some crazy cult dude or whatnot. And so Jesus went. What's up?
I'm like, shouts out to Jim Jones.
Jim Jones?
One of the cult guys I aspire to be. I want to follow him, and I want to give everybody that special drink.
That special drink. Sip the Kool-Aid, y'all. Sip it. But when Jesus would come back, who is he going to hang out with? He's going to hang with the criminals, the lowlifes, the people that really needs his help. Yeah, he's going to be with the sinners. And so if Jesus came today, who would he be hanging with? The rappers. those are the centers who are the most popular, who can reach the majority. They're the most influential. And then also, if you want to get into conspiracies, people who believe in the Illuminati and the New World Order, and that the Illuminati is going to take over. One of the most famous families within the Illuminati dynasty is the Rothschild family, who is the leaders of the banking industry and the heir to the Illuminati banking industry, who is Kate Rothschild, left her husband several months ago and started managing J Electronica, and they are currently in a relationship together going all over the world. So once again, if Jesus were to come back today, he probably would be a rapper, and he'd probably be hanging with the sinners, and he would probably infiltrate the Illuminati to bring them down from within. So once again, everybody, J Electronica is Black Jesus. All fucking praise, man. Black Jesus. I'm just saying.
My racist heart won't allow that, but definitely.
But speaking of being racist, I thought this was interesting. A lot of people get his brother some slack. I'm a fan of his, not like a fan to the point of putting money in the man's pocket. Yeah. I respect
it. He's not a lyrical genius or anything like that.
But he is a guru. I will give him that. He's a motherfucking guru.
I want to say he must, and I'll say this because of his Bible verses that he had to battle Eminem with. But the motherfucker's married to Mara Curry and gave her some babies. If that ain't a sign of
winning,
of blessed, yeah, of winning. There you go. I don't know what the fuck is.
But Nick Cannon caused a little bit of controversy over the past week or so, as he did a white face picture, and a lot of people called him out for being racist.
He looks pretty damn white to me.
And it's hilarious to me because he finally came out and he tweeted. He said, "I am racist," following the whole tweet. It says the 33-year-old comedian and former Nickelodeon star came under fire last month when he shared pictures and videos of himself in whiteface on his Instagram account. Cannon wore the makeup to portray his white alter ego, Connor Smallnut. That is a classic name. In order to promote his new record, White People Party Music. The comedian then posted the tweet on Thursday, including a link to a video of his stand-up routine. And on the stand-up routine, Nick Cannon was like, "All racists in here make some noise. I'm right there with you. Yes, I am racist." He said, "I'm prejudiced. Yes, I prejudge people. I do. If I meet somebody from India, I assume their house smells like curry. My Asian friends, I don't let them walk my dog. I am racist. If I see a middle-aged white man in some sweatpants by a school, pedophile." He was like, "White people, you guys are scared of young black mans in black hoods." He continues, "I'm scared of old white man in white hoods. KKK. Oh, that shit is real." And it's funny because, yeah, he's been getting a lot of shit about this, and I hate when these fucking conversations come up because it's always fucking out of context, because it's like, "Oh, Nick Cannon's doing whiteface. Well, that must be racist. That must be racist, because when white people do blackface, that's racist, and so it has to be equal." Well, it's not equal because there's a history of blackface. That wasn't just something that a couple people did for Halloween. No, there was a history of the minstrel shows and white people back before black people had any type of fucking civil rights. And when the TV and the entertainment was popping up, there was white people who were dressing in blackface and making fun of black people and calling them niggers and doing all this and showing how just stupid and ignorant they are and all that. Look at me with my blackface and all that. There was a history of it. So Nick Cannon wearing whiteface, it's not the same thing, because there's not a history of whiteface. There's no history of it. That's the reason why the N-word will always be so fucking controversial, because there's the nigger is more controversial than cracker, because there's been a lot more negative shit behind the word nigger than there is cracker. There wasn't a group of black people running around killing little white babies, writing cracker on them. Like, it's different, and it's not black people saying, "Hey, no, we could get away with it." No, it's different. It's just two completely different dynamics with the history. And so, Nick Cannon, shouts out to you for doing this dumb shit. I'm still not buying the album. I did download it legally. Let me give it a few listens, see what he's talking about. But I'm not putting no money in this man's pocket, because he fucking Mariah Carey. So fuck that nigga.
God has blessed you enough. The Lord knows I don't need to give you any more props.
You've been blessed. Go ahead.
I do want to hear how white people party, though, so I could imagine it's a lot of turn-up anthems.
Oh, yeah, they must be getting turned up.
And I do want to get white girl wasted, and I do want to do this. So if the, his music allows me to do that, I probably want to hear it, maybe.
Your music allows me to rotate my wrists in opposite directions continuously to the beat of the music to a rhythm. I am with you, Nick Cannon. I'm with you.
And honestly, I never thought the man was funny. I mean, I guess Wild and Out was pretty cool. I will admit, I fucking like that. Jack Filler kind of came up. Well, not came up, but he was on that thing. So I like, I mean, I'm all about freestyle comedy, which is just a longer word for fucking ad-libbing. But yeah, so.
It's funny.
Never listened to his music. I don't even remember his singles even being single worthy.
The only record that he had that was kind of went hard was that Gigolo song that he had with R. Kelly. I'm a Gigolo. Gigolo. That shit went hard.
That was featured by fucking R. Kelly, so.
It was R. Kelly that made it hot. And what is playing in my ears? Oh, no, keep going. Okay. But yeah, so Nick Cannon, I respect him as a music mogul. He, the motherfucker, owns like Nickelodeon, and he has his fucking hands and all kinds of shit. So like, I respect, he's one of those things where it's like, I don't like his music, but I respect his hustle and the shit that he's done to get to where he's at, as opposed to you have somebody like Puff Daddy, who got to where he's at by snaking a whole bunch of people. Like, Puff Daddy stabbed a bunch of people in the back to get to where he's at. Nick Cannon has a pretty good repertoire within the industry or whatnot. He doesn't have a record of stabbing a bunch of motherfuckers in the back to get to where he's at. So I got nothing but love for Nick Cannon. He's a corny motherfucker, but I got love for dude. So, yes, sir.
That, and I thought it was very hilarious how when, I don't know if you remember, he had a beef with Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Eminem, you know, because obviously fuck Mariah. I mean, I don't know. So I actually believe Mariah to be not a hoe. Which is damn near impossible for that industry's sort of standards.
Yeah.
Hold on, because my shit came up. But, because I think she was what? She was married to Batola? And I know that. Batola. And he's a fucking big record exec, so who knows, you know, what sort of, how he had a pass or along with the fucking cocaine plate to his fucking colleagues. But,
yeah.
I believe that, you know what I'm saying? She's just a holy vessel or whatever, so. I started laughing that when Eminem started kind of making remarks that he got a hit and things like that, which we don't fucking know for sure. We just know that there's a point where she kind of went crazy. She left a voicemail, blah, blah, blah. I found it interesting and admirable that instead of trying to write a diss record, which, mind you, I think we'd find suspect if we were to hear fucking Nick Cannon do some shit about like that, he attacked with Bible verses, which, mind you, he got a lot of shit for. People, you know, called him weak or whatever.
Yeah.
Who got Mariah Carey pregnant and who got, you know what I'm saying, some capital? I don't know.
Exactly. So, and that was kind of the thing going back to when, and the reason why this is in my head is because, I had the fucking, Google Play on, Shuffle earlier today and the song came on. I forgot about it, but, did you ever hear Will Smith's response to Eminem?
What?
Called Mr. Nice Guy?
Oh, yeah. It was off of the, South or Lost and Found album. Don't tell me why I know.
Oh, is that what? Okay, I didn't even know what record it was. I knew I heard the single, but it came on Google Play and it kind of reminded me of that too, where he was just kind of talking about Eminem and he was talking about all these people like dissing him in the industry, and he was kind of saying that same thing where at the end, I'm the winner because I've made more out of my career than you. And like he has mentioned Wendy Williams, which I hate that fucking bitch with a passion. But he had mentioned Wendy when she still worked for that radio station, and he was like, be careful before I buy your radio station and send your ass home. And it's like, that's some real ass talk. You can hate on the brother as much as you want, but he's made a name for himself and he did it the right way. He didn't do it being a snake, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, fucking it. And it's so funny too, now that you gave me some flashbacks, mind you. We're supposed to be some hip hop heads. I don't think we really touched on the music. Maybe we could bring it up right now. But Will Smith, actually, that same album we had, Mr. Nice Guy, he actually had a song called, I don't know if you remember, he had a single called Switch. You know,
yeah, I do remember Switch.
And Aaron Burr, it had like remixes on it to where he had a reggae style remix. And this is actually one of the first times I remember hearing Robin Thicke. Robin Thicke had an R&B remix to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting for music heads. Mind you, Will Smith isn't the most lyrical. You're not going to be fucking wowed.
Yeah.
But interesting shit. And yeah, me being a fucking music nerd, listening to it and fucking actually buying it, I think there's some sort of Target exclusive that fucking made me want to get it.
Oh, I'm going to get this shit.
Oh, it's going to be fire, son. I want that Sizzler remix of Switch. Available at Target, and I had nothing better to do but to give Target my $10 on this Tuesday morning before work.
Yeah, and it's actually funny because you did bring that up. We kind of talked about it a little bit before the show, is that the initial idea of this podcast when we first got started was we're going to do a hip-hop podcast. But as time progressed, I think the show evolved into something bigger, and I think, in my opinion, better, because unfortunately, hip hop is boring right now. And I think it's boring because it's not a lot of trailblazers right now. It's a lot of copycats. It's a lot of people.
The same old shit, man.
It's the same old shit. And if we were to turn this into a hip hop only podcast, I think it would eventually get boring, because I think every week we would only be talking about TDE. That's kind of the only good, and that's not to shit on anybody else to say that there's not good music, but from a mainstream talkable point of view of people who are really like shaking shit up in the industry, like Kendrick Lamar and his crew is the only people like really, really doing something on a major level. And I know I had mentioned earlier, because I'm a big fan of Slaughterhouse, Joe Budden is one of my top five rappers of all time. A lot of people kind of look at me funny when I say that, but I'm a huge fan of Joe Budden. I put him up there with Pac, Eminem, Jay-Z, and Nas, and for my personal standpoint. And I really fucks hard with Slaughterhouse, and they're working on a new album, Glass House, which they're going back to more of their roots with the... they do a lot of the emo shit, which really kind of really hits hard, and they're saying that the name of this album, which is Glass House, is supposed to be more emotional and just straight from the heart. And I fucks with it, but it still just is not enough to turn a whole fucking show out of. So unfortunately, hip hop has been boring for the past while, and noteworthy things we've been bringing up, but shit, even you see this week we're doing a show, and two most important things in hip hop right now is fucking Jay Electronica, who ain't never dropped a real album, and Nick Cannon, who ain't never dropped a hot album, and they shitting on everything else that's going on in hip hop right now. So hip hoppers, step your game up. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I think I lost Poppo. Oh, is Poppo there? Oh, I think I lost him. I think I lost him. Oh! I think he's back, y'all. I think he's back. He's coming back.
I don't know what the hell was going on.
Oh, I was just going on my soapbox rant about how boring hip hop is. So yeah, you didn't miss too much.
Okay, well, and I don't know what you had mentioned, but like I said, there are a few hip hop records that I already know. So my cousin was, and I should probably pull up iTunes so I can try to reference some of it. But my cousin, who is younger than me, and I consider myself more of a, and I think that this is where it kind of, I don't know if you feel this way when you listen to hip hop heads now. I feel more entitled because I feel more enriched in the culture and what it was, and you know what I'm saying, from its boom bap days, and not just its, you know, its fucking flat out ignorance that it is now.
Yeah.
This motherfucker was like truly like fucking calling me out and telling me, you know, from Freddie Gibbs. Freddie Gibbs is I guess he was, I'm not too sure if he was the guy that was in part of that crew where Young Jeezy was in. Remember,
Boys in the Hood, I think, was the name of the group. Yeah,
maybe. I think it was called CTE. He kind of references in their comment calling Young Jeezy a hoe. I didn't, like I said, shit like that. And then the Sage the Gemini, who's complete garbage. He has that gas pedal. Yes. Mind you.
Oh, that's who does that song. Gas pedal.
Yeah. Honestly, the album is shit. But he had, you gotta admit, that was a fucking strong single, which I didn't fucking hear until I was polluted by hearing it in all these fucking vines, man. Like, it was after vine after vine after vine. Yeah. Who else fucking has some? Now, YG, who did that, without sound racist, the my hitter.
My nigga. That's my shit. That's my shit, though. That's my shit.
I didn't hear that shit until I heard it on the fucking Vines, and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
You know what's hilarious about that song? My girl has Pandora, and she had heard that song a couple times come on the radio. My hitter. And she actually, you know, kind of liked the melody and all that. And it came on Pandora, and she was like, oh my God, I didn't know that's what they were saying.
It's kind of like, who's Monica and why are they looking for her?
Oh shit, that shit is hilarious. I love that shit.
She's the reason why they made that meme. Exactly. White people are like, who's Monica and why are they looking for her?
That shit is funny.
I will say though, I did get that fucking album some listens. I truly, truly don't fucking like it. But apparently
YG.
Oh, okay. But he's backed by that DJ Mustard, and I think every fucking hit in the radio right now has a DJ Mustard beat. That fucking sort of beat.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hold on, give me a second. Are you gonna pick it up? And so all the DJ Mustard stuff, which I guess apparently they're homies. And I think that's how he kind of came up. So the fact to have one of the hottest producers that's in the game right now, kind of similar to Hit Boy, was one of the hottest producers, and who was another guy that everybody fucking needed one of his beats? Mike Will made it.
Yeah.
And
I think that's one of the biggest issues why I think hip hop for me right now is just so whack. Is that going back in the day, it used to be you had this rapper who had this producer, and like they only fuck with each other, and so they had this certain sound, and then this producer fuck with this group of people and they had this kind of sound. Nowadays we're in the world where it's this producer blows up, he's hot, and now everybody wants one of his beats. So then you turn on the radio and there's only 20 songs they play on the radio, and 12 of those beats are by the same person, and it just all starts to sound the same. Then you got a lot of motherfuckers who are just afraid to be original. Like, motherfuckers, and that's the reason why Childish Gambino really pulls on my heartstrings. I think that's the reason why Kid Cudi, I really fuck with them hard, is because they're saying a bunch of shit that other rappers would be afraid to admit. I remember even going back to Childish Gambino's first album, Camp, and on that first song,
my record was fire.
That was a fantastic album. And I remember the song Outside that he had, he referenced talking about being the only kid in his class that was still peeing in his pants. And it was like, rappers wouldn't dare say something like that nowadays. And so
they want to shit on niggas. So for someone to say they piss on themselves, that's uncalled for.
And it's just like,
if you piss on yourself, you might as well have a little dick and be peeing on your balls.
Just pee right on the balls. But it even goes to the record. I remember we talked about this when that Childish first came out. He has that song with Chance, the Worst Guys, and when he talks about having a menage and how he could not get it up because he's awkward as fuck. And it was just like, it's some real shit that real people are going through, but rappers don't want to talk about any of that shit. So, I don't know, man. So, fuck hip hop till they get their shit together.
Fuck hip hop, and once again, to get on a TDE's dick. Right now, Schoolboy Q has had the latest record, because taking Absol forever and a day, and ain't nobody ready for Isaiah Rashad.
I don't think Isaiah Rashad's ready for himself. So
yeah, I don't think so either. Just because, to me, I'm gonna compare his ass to Kendrick. That's just straight up and down. I'm gonna compare him to Kendrick. He seems to be on the same lyrical level. They both seem to be very humble. Sort of cats to where they're not flashy, talking about, you know, all this loopy loop sort of shit. So I don't know. He has a high level that hit, but someone who has no level, so to speak, because we just love him for his all around ignorance and hood like antics.
Yeah.
Schoolboy Q, Oxymoron. Do you want to talk about that album? Maybe kind of sort of.
Yeah. The last time.
Or at least talk about your favorite track.
Yo, yeah, because the album, it came out, and I kind of roughly listened to it in the background, and it was kind of like so-so. I'm like, okay, I wasn't really paying attention to it. But then what really made me start fucking with it is, once again, one of my favorite podcasts is the Juan Epstein podcast, where they interview rappers, but they're, I think the interviews are a hell of a lot better because, the interviews are a hell of a lot better because instead of them doing the whole, you come on the radio show and this is, we're going to talk about these topics and you have a new album. What's that single? And how did you get that single? Like the Juan Epstein podcast is they get the, you know, rappers come in. They're not on camera or anything. They're just having a real legit conversation and they talk to Schoolboy Q about his whole background and like he told his whole story. And it was a dope ass fucking story. And my whole thing is, and I've always said that, I'm not necessarily a rap fan. I'm a artist fan. So like, I have an artist and an artist will have an interesting story and then I'll fuck with you thick or thin with your music. It's the same thing. That's the reason why I'm a big fan of Jay-Z, big fan of Nas, Joe Budden, like I mentioned, DMX before he, you know, he, couldn't put that crack pipe down. I was fucking with DMX real hard. And it's just like certain people have interesting stories and then you hear those stories play out through these albums. And so Schoolboy Q, I didn't know his story. So I thought he was just another gangster rapper doing the same shit everybody else is doing. But when I actually heard him talking about it and his life and his upbringing, I was like, yo, I really fucks with this dude, man. I was like, yeah, where you coming from? And like he had mentioned one of his favorite rappers being 50 Cent. And 50 Cent is one of my favorite rappers too, because 50 never is going to dazzle you with his, you know, lyrical prowess, but 50 is on it when it comes to them street tales. And like 50 didn't live that shit that he talked about. Like 50 been there, he's done that. And so I really fuck with 50 hard because there's just this genuineness with it. But then when you pass it over to Schoolboy Q, Schoolboy Q shit goes real hard, and the record that really stood out for me is he has the record called Hoover Street, and it's like a 7-minute song. The beat switch up like 2-3 times and all that, and he's just telling like hood tales. And like the one line that really caught my attention was when he was talking about, you know, having roaches in his cereal, and that's some hood shit. Yo, I grew up on Section 8, I grew up on the food stamps, I remember them days of growing up with the roaches in the cereal. Like, and it's funny because like my girl grew up in a completely different reality than me, and she doesn't understand why I don't like cereal boxes or anything like that, because I don't know what the fuck that got in there. I can't eat in the dark. I need to be able to see my food. It's just, I grew up in the fucking projects when we had roaches.
Say shit.
You gotta be aware of that shit. I just can't be eating in the dark. Just trust there ain't nothing in there. Like, you grow up and pull that box out and some fucking roaches come out, and it's just, that's reality. And so that shit stuck in my head as I grew up. And so I fucked with Schoolboy Q after saying, I was like, I feel your story. I see where you're coming from. And then Hoover Street, that was a cold ass motherfucking story, man. So
Hoover Street was definitely one of my favorite tracks on there. And I'll say, because it does remind me of the hood, which I can't forget, because a very close lady friend of mine, she still lives in that. And I, Lord knows, I hate going to her goddamn house because there'd be creepy crawlers all over the goddamn place. But one of my favorite parts about that song, though, it's because, mind you, being a fan of his, I always liked his, just like with any rapper, they all have their branded chants or ad-libs. And one of his ad-libs is that yap, yap sort of shit. And in that song, he explains that he got it from his uncle, for his uncle to be like yap. So he pretty much tells the origins of where the yap, yap came from. I'm like, fucking A, me being a geek, I wanted to know that. I just thought it was a fucking a hood-like thing to fucking chant out. But I mean, mind you, it is, and it came from this crackhead fucking uncle. One of my, I guess, favorite tracks on there, which I appreciate, and this wasn't the best Sugar Free track, but I appreciate Sugar Free, and I know every time I hear Sugar Free, he always has something funny to say. So mind you, this wasn't my favorite Sugar Free verse.
Yeah.
But I loved hearing him because he always talks really offbeat, but he fucking tells this really long story, and he kind of has his way of kind of twiddling with his fingers.
Yeah.
And it's a song about convincing the bitch to sell it. The core goes, will you sell that pussy for me? And I feel so, I can't hear that with my sister because I'm like, I don't want to influence her.
Yeah.
And, you know, a bitch would do a lot of things for that Michael Kors bag. But fucking, I love this line where he's pretty much, mind you, as a pimp, you gotta let the bitch know how dumb a bitch she is and how she needs you, because mind you, it's about manipulation and control. So I love how he goes on this long ass rant and says, mind you, Forrest Gump also walked, and he was pretty stupid. And I was like, oh, that was the line that tied it all together, telling this bitch how she ain't shit without him. And mind you,
if you want to get to fucking, if you want, if you know, if you want to leave my services, you can get to walking. And Forrest Gump walked too, and he was pretty stupid. I don't know. A lot of misogynistic shit, and mind you, a great hip hop album because of it. So
not very
not too many great things out there in the land of hip hop. Yeah. Not too many things I'm fucking proud of whatsoever. Which mind you, I think that's why we find distractions because, and why we listen to idiotic shit, because reality is a motherfucker, and sometimes even that in which is rolled up in a funky beat sometimes I don't want to fucking listen to because it's horrible. So yeah. I get lost in video games, and if I can kind of move on, to my little thing of entertainment news that I kind of tripped out about.
Yes, sir.
In the realm of video games, is one of the things I kind of get lost into. I'm not an online gamer, you know what I'm saying? Mainly because the motherfucker don't even got Wi-Fi at the goddamn crib, so how the hell am I going to be on Xbox Live? But I laugh because there's this news that, well, it kind of became a big deal. Apparently, a kid hacked into the Xbox Live thing, where it's pretty much you fucking play online games, but he was able to hack into shit and get out. He pretty much figured out how to play shit that he wasn't supposed to be playing. Apparently, this was a big deal. And I'm pretty sure that his parent, because his dad, I guess, is some kind of programmer, so I'm pretty fucking sure
he has something to do with it. Yeah,
but you know how they like to flip the story, and oh, it was a kid, it was a big fucking deal. I mean, long story short, the guy submitted the information to Microsoft. They ended up giving the kid fucking some free games and a whole year's worth of online access. But the fact that they try to deem that a kid fucking hack into the server that apparently engineers fucking, you know, education and career is all based on, kind of seems suspect. But I was like, he hacked in by pressing space a bunch of times. Who would have thought that was a good way to hack into shit? But you know, motherfuckers still use 111 or 1234 as their PIN number, so you'd be amazed at how the simple, silly shit motherfuckers do.
Because unfortunately, people are simple. Unfortunately.
I don't want any more
my video games. And yo, I'm really on that Steam shit, yo. I told you, that's my new shit. And I've talked about it before, Final Fantasy VII. Oh, what? Huh? What? Huh? What? You still there?
Huh? Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
It's just my shit disconnects.
It's all good. No, fuck it. Final Fantasy VII is like my favorite video game of all fucking time. And, I logged on to Steam on the laptop. I was going to play me some Civilization. And I guess Square Equinox or Square Inks, however you pronounce that company, they were having this big 70-80% off sale. And I had been looking for Final Fantasy VII for like a minute on eBay. And I checked eBay a couple different places, and like they were going for like $200. And I was like, I want this game, but I'm not spending $200 on no fucking game. You got the Star Trek popping off. I sees you. And they had the game for like $3.99 on fucking Steam. And so I downloaded it. I still ain't played it yet because I'm trying to get one of those controllers that hook up to the laptop so I could play like how you actually play a fucking game. And
this is why I was pissed off at you, man. I'm gonna call you out on the podcast. You broke your fucking phone, but I had texted you because I was thrift shopping, and I actually found a fucking brand new controller. It looks like the Xbox controller. That's why I had to text you first because I would have just got it.
Yeah.
But I was like, mind you, I'm a Sony fanboy too, so I'm like, I don't know if he's gonna like the feel of this controller, but it was a PC thing, and I don't know if it would have been compatible. And
what I ended up finding was on, because I bought one, it's over here somewhere.
Oh, you bought it then already, so you bought it?
Well, no, I bought one at fucking Walmart for like $20, and a piece of shit doesn't fucking work. Because on Steam, because on Steam, you can map them out. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it's just like the PlayStation controller has the little sticks and all that. And on Steam, you can map the buttons how you want the buttons to react and all that. But all the buttons don't fucking work, so I can't map a start button, so I can't start the fucking game from it. And then so finally, I just went on Amazon. I found one that's like PS3 / PC compatible and so on. I'm gonna fuck with that shit, see if it works. But I'm on Steam. This is my new shit. As soon as I can find a controller, I'm doing all my downloading, playing everything on Steam. I'm completely diving into this whole fucking digital world. Like we talked about a couple episodes ago when I found out about Google Play. I didn't know I could have a fucking iPod on my phone with Google Play. I done switched over to, well, we ain't got cable anymore. I'm just doing Netflix and Hulu. Now I'm about to, fucking ditch the hardwire systems and move to Steam. I'm fucking diving into the digital world. I'm transcending.
Right on. In the world of geekery, actually, this one guy that I hate on Instagram, he had posted, and apparently he does some sort of video, I don't know if he makes videos for people. He never actually talks about the clients that he does. He just brags about having a, being so, being working, I don't know, living a life or whatever. One of those, flossy motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Anyways, he had showed a screenshot of him playing some kind of a Game Boy game, and apparently there's like an app that, mind you, me being an iPhone user, you have to either pay for your games or have a shitty free one.
Yeah.
They figured out how to do a Game Boy emulator where I can play fucking, and mind you, nothing compares to actually having fun, so.
Yeah.
Technology and all that shit can, I can have all the emulators out the ass, but nothing beats the actual hardware system, which, mind you, is what makes me such a fanboy for my Nintendo.
Yeah.
And my DS, because it gives you buttons, man. It ain't the fucking same. Unless I'm clicking on something, I'm really not feeling it. You know what I'm saying? And Lord forbid I fucking, crack the fucking screen because it gets so goddamn intense. That's why Nintendo's the shit that make their hardware built to last. But,
that's the reason why them bitches is here forever.
And entertainment, though. My God. Yeah. You can get lost in that shit.
And actually, speaking of something that apparently is going to be here forever, you posted this link. There's a rumor of who the next James Bond bad guy might be. And this is actually interesting because it's, you can never pronounce this motherfucker's name, Chiwetel Ejiofor. For all y'all who obviously didn't know what the fuck I just said, this is the dude that was the star of 12 Years a Slave. He was on American Gangster with Denzel Washington. He was also the main bad guy in Four Brothers. I think that was the first movie of his I saw.
I don't even remember that. He was an ugly motherfucker in that movie. Well,
He's been an ugly motherfucker. Yeah, he's an ugly motherfucker in life. He must have a cheat code, because that's an ugly motherfucker. He found a way to be successful, so that nigga found the cheat code. But,
ugly.
So they're rumoring that he's going to be the next Bond bad guy.
Yeah, and I got really excited about it because, mind you, me being the racist that I am, I've noticed, especially since the wave of Obama, we're too afraid to make blacks look like thugs anymore. Because, you know what I'm saying? We want to, obviously, it sounds racist to categorize all blacks as thugs.
Yeah.
But there's a certain pedestal to where, you know what I'm saying, kind of like the wave of, I don't know if it was 24, I forgot what movie it was, with the Allstate guy who plays the president.
24. That was 24. Yeah.
24, yeah, either way.
Yes.
Where, I mean, mind you, it's a good look for blacks because you guys were held on a more pristine sort of thing, but then I figured, like, is this anti-racism, which I guess, I'm not sure there'd be an anti-racism because you figure it'd just be regular, normal, this should be okay life.
Yeah.
But I felt like, are we too afraid to make the black guy the bad guy again? And so when I saw this, I'm like, yes, we're not scared anymore. We fucking had a stick in the last one to be the evil terrorist guy, and we're bringing blacks back in the picture. America's not afraid anymore to fucking point the finger at blacks and call them.
You know what? I bet this is what I bet ends up happening, because the rumor is that the next James Bond is supposed to be Idris Elba, the black dude that was on the Obsessed movie. He's been on a couple different things.
Okay.
So if they do this, then the next James Bond movie is just going to be black. So it's going to be a black James Bond versus a black bad guy. And when the shit flops.
Black on black!
Watch. Yeah, so it's going to be black on black crime again. And when the shit flops, they're going to be like, see, we can't give you niggas anything. That's exactly what's going to happen.
They're going to ring through this crack, and oh my God.
They're going to bring crack back to the ghettos and be like, we should have never gave you niggas money.
Oh God, that was happening. Oh, America. Oh. Illuminati, y'all powers are so strong.
I done told everybody, fucking Obama fucked it up for all of us. Like, shit was okay. Obama got in office, and motherfuckers is like, there's no such thing as racism. And yeah, shit got worse with Obama in office. That's all I'm saying.
I knew those racist fucking trailer park hicks are right. Obama ruined America. He's the Antichrist.
And speaking of something else that Obama fucked up, his whole media thing with, you know, rednecks and, you know, black people and all that shit. Because I blame all racism and all everything on Obama. Fucking DeSean Jackson got cut by the Eagles. And I know my man Papa over here isn't much of a sports person.
I know nothing.
DeSean Jackson is a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Philadelphia Eagles got into a little bit of trouble last year because of the whole thing with the Riley Cooper incident, where Riley Cooper went on his nigger rant after a Toby Keith concert. Yeah, talking about how, you know, he beat up every nigger here, which is funny because you're at a Toby Keith concert, so the only two niggers that was there is the niggers that were working. But whatever. But yeah. So fucking DeSean Jackson, though, got cut by the Philadelphia Eagles Friday, or minutes after Friday's original NJ.com story detailed his association with gang members in Los Angeles who were either convicted or charged in two murders between 2010 and 2012. It says that ESPN carved out a large portion of the afternoon SportsCenter shows to discuss Jackson's release in the NJ.com investigation. Every major sports website rushed to get a post up on Jackson's unexpected release, and social media buzzed with reactions to the Eagles cutting him. I just find it interesting. Now, I don't really want to play that card of playing it together, but it, I don't know, it's just kind of interesting that this guy was being considered having been friends with people who did heinous stuff, and he himself didn't do anything heinous, but he was around some supposedly people who were heinous, which is funny because even the article says that he had connections with guys who were either connected to or charged. So the people that he was connected to were then connected with other people who might have done something a few years ago.
So was literally guilty by association.
He was guilty by association of association. So it wasn't even, it was fucking 12 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It wasn't even the Nets dude. It was that he knew some people who knew some people who had possibly did some shit. And so he got cut for it. But it's funny. Because going back to the whole Riley Cooper thing, Riley Cooper kind of got a slap on the wrist. And it's just, I don't know, it's just like, we're just in a weird place in America now. Because I saw some story, I'm not going to mention the dude's name, but some white dude got into some shit. And he apparently raped his 3-year-old daughter. And then the judge gave him 5 years of probation and no jail time because she didn't think that he would fend well in jail. And then you have the whole affluenza situation with the white kid that was spoiled rich and had killed some people driving drunk underage. And it was like he had affluenza. He was too rich to be put in jail because he had never faced any consequences in his life. It's just, I don't know, we're in a fucked up reality where certain people can get away with certain things because, oh, well, you know, you don't know any better, so we'll give you a slap on the wrist. But other people who are just associated with people who are associated with people end up losing their fucking jobs. But he's okay because, dude, he's a good player. I'm not really too big on football, but I know that he's a good player. He got picked up by the Washington Redskins, so he's going to be all right. But I just thought that was funny that Riley Cooper didn't get in any trouble for racial slurs and threatening to do violence on the others, and then this dude knows somebody who knows somebody and he lost his fucking job for it. So
I don't have anything much to comment on that per se.
Yeah.
Actually, I put a link near the end which kind of makes it more relevant to this, but I hate though the shit that who we associate with or the views that we've had, how that can affect what we're currently doing, whether that's irrelevant or not. Like, it makes no fucking sense. I mean, shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if, let's say my auntie's a fucking crackhead. Well, my mom happens to be a crackhead. Now, because this bitch is a crackhead, does that mean I'm going to go for you?
Exactly.
For that same shit? No, it shouldn't. That bitch happened to be fucked up. That naturally gave me a fucked up psyche, but
yeah.
That, like, why are you going to associate me with that? Anyways, the guy, and I forget his name, I have the link on there. He's one of the co-founder of what's it called? The Firefox, Mozilla, whatever. Anyways, he apparently had, back in the day, a few years back, had campaigned or had contributed to one of the anti-gay, marriage, campaign.
Okay.
Mind you, he just gave money for the people, you know, who are needing it. Because, mind you, we all need sponsors and, you know, it's a charitable thing because it's, you know, donations, whatever. So, apparently, and this is where I start laughing because motherfuckers are such sore winners. And in the link I put on their fags are sore winners because they see a cause and they figure, oh shit, we can make motherfuckers hate these companies. Maybe we can make them fucking denounce this guy as a president or as a CEO of you know, Mozilla or, I don't know, the motherfuckers who make Firefox, which I like Firefox. I prefer that operating system over Google, fuck you, Explorer, fuck you, Safari. Anyways, I just thought it was foul that because they have that power, because mind you, gay is a new black. And if you're not rolling with the gays, then you're gay, and we're not going to like you, and we're going to fire you, and we're going to fuck up your business. And they're going to kick the motherfucker out of a goddamn job because he, you know, not to say he still stands for it, but he happened to have contributed some money a few years back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do the gays hate Obama now that fucking they're on their side, that he's on their side? No, they fucking... Yeah. You know, who doesn't love a pretty nigga in a suit? You know what I mean? Like, it upsets me that you know, they want this motherfucker out of his job because of his views. And I think that's why.
See, and I do agree with that because I personally think that people have the right to believe what they want to believe. And long as you aren't physically harming anyone, or long as you're not using your power to hold someone else down, you could think whatever the fuck it is you want to think. I personally, I made this comment, I think, on the last episode. You know, I'm in a new position working on a call center, dealing with tech support, different things. And I've come to the conclusion that I cannot stand Indian men. Not Indians in the politically incorrect sense of Native Americans. Not Native Americans, but them red dot motherfuckers. And if there's any of y'all listening, not to be rude, but your men are fucking assholes and think they know every goddamn thing. And every time I get
my leg curry.
Yeah. Damn, shout out to Nick Cannon. They probably smell like curry. But it's one of those things where, like, you have this is supposed to be a free country, so you have the right to believe whatever it is you want to believe, long as you're not harming someone else. And I'm someone who, if you go back in time 3-4 years ago, I was completely against gay marriage. I was so against gay marriage.
Because you're so hip hop back in the day.
I was just so hip hop. You know, us hip hoppers hate them gays. I was true hip hop with the Tim boots and hating gays. That's how we do it in the hip hop world. But I've changed my opinion on it. And my main thing is, regardless of whatever your religious belief is or anything like that, I think genuinely what it comes down to is the government shouldn't have the right to say who can get married. So that's my take on it. Regardless of, from a religious standpoint, if you think being gay is gross, or if it's they're going to hell or whatever, that's your personal opinion. But when it comes down to, the government shouldn't be able to say who can get married and who can't. And that's my opinion on why the government needs to quit all this shit and just let them do whatever the fuck they want to do. And if a priest wants to marry some gay people, and then if what he's doing is wrong in God's eyes, then let him deal with that. He'll be judged. Let's stop worrying about this shit. Like, let other people worry about this shit. We got more important shit in the world to figure out than this beach ball of gay marriage that we keep bouncing around every time some real shit happens in the world. We're like, hey, what about those gays, though? And so, I'm not upset when I see certain people, and this goes back to, we brought up the whole Chick-fil-A thing when Chick-fil-A came out about the whole anti-gay thing and people were upraged. And I was like, you could tell that they're a religious organization. They're closed on Sundays. I'm pretty sure that that's the reason. Like, that's their beliefs. Let them have their beliefs. Long as you're not, like, and that's the reason why you have somebody like the Westboro Baptist Church. Like, I hate those motherfuckers because they'll go to, like, where soldiers are being buried, and they'll be holding up signs saying, God hates you and all that. That's fucked up. Like, if that's your opinion, keep it to yourself, because that's negativity that we don't need out in the world. But you have the right to feel that way. Just don't fucking push it down everybody else's throat. So I don't know. I sympathize. I do agree with you that people have the right to feel however the fuck they want to feel. If you like something, don't like something, that's all the fuck up to you, and you shouldn't be worried about losing your damn job because you disagree with something. And I remember we brought up the homie Zach, was it Shrek 9? Trick.
Yeah.
Fucking, I remember I had a conversation with him, and he was talking about his some band that he listened to that lead singer, the guy, turned out to be transgender and had a sense change. And yeah, everybody was all on the guy's bandwagon. And he was like, it's funny because these same fans 10 years ago would have been talking shit about that damn dude. But since it's the popular new thing to do, oh, we got to stand over here. Like, just fucking believe what you want to believe and stop following everybody. It's a fucking mess. America's a mess. So
it's so hard to be a free thinker, though, and to think for yourself. This is why I believe in communism. I'd rather not have choices because there's just too much to pick, and Lord knows I'm an undecisive motherfucker. So that's exactly what it is.
That's exactly what it is. And speaking of people not being able to think for themselves, NPR pulled a fantastic April Fool's prank on some people who don't read. Apparently NPR asked
majority of America.
Yes, they kind of called us out, and they asked, why doesn't America read anymore? And apparently some YouTube commenters screeched, we totally do, NPR, shut up, we read all the time, we're reading your article right now, man. But apparently they didn't read the article, because if they had, they would have seen this. On the article, it says, congratulations, genuine readers, and happy April Fool's Day. We sometimes get the sense that some people are commenting on NPR stories that they haven't actually read. If you're reading this, please like this post and do not comment on it. Then let's see what people have to say about this story. Best wishes and enjoy your day. And apparently thousands of people commented on the story saying, yeah, we fucking read, blah, 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 all that. No, you motherfuckers, you don't read because it said in the paragraph not to comment, because we've noticed that you motherfuckers aren't reading this shit. You're just leaving comments on it. And like we said, going back to our first official episode, the real America lies in the comment section. And this just proved once again how fucking stupid people are. God damn.
All I know
about the NPR.
I look at a fucking subject title and I'm good on the article. I pretty much know where this is going.
Yeah. So,
but mind you, yeah, we don't fucking read. And it kind of reminds you, I thought it was going to be on some terms of agreement sort of shit like that.
Yeah. Yo, and I saw this article, it was a while ago, there was, you have the terms and agreements, no one ever reads that shit, we all sign our souls away and go down to the bottom and click agree, and some company had a real long, like, 30-page terms and agreements thing, and somewhere in the middle of it, it says, the first person to read this and email us at this location saying this information, we'll give $5,000 to, and someone actually read the thing, sent it in, and they gave them $5,000, and it was like, this fucking platform thing had been out for 7 years, and it took 7 years before someone finally actually fucking read it, and they end up getting $5,000. America doesn't read anymore. And like they said on this thing, the real question isn't why we don't read anymore, it's why we comment passionately and with the utmost confidence after reading only a headline. Hint, the answer is probably not because we literally don't remember what books are, or because our elders aren't familiar with traditional Greek storytelling techniques. So shouts out to NPR for just once again proving how stupid motherfuckers is, because y'all motherfuckers are stupid. I'm just waiting for the asteroid to hit and wipe us all out, because I've given up on society. Motherfuckers are stupid.
Well, according to science, hopefully that shit might come soon in the next story that I don't know if you click on the link or not. And I'm not too sure. And I don't know how many total lunar eclipses there are. I don't know if there's four. There's going to be four this year, but apparently the first two is actually going to be this 15th and 16th. And they're calling it the blood moon.
Ooh.
Similar to your blue moon, which, you know, hardly ever happens. And if you're the kind of person I am, you enjoy your blue moon with the slice of orange. But I started tripping out when I saw this, because I guess apparently, and mind you, I'm a Bible thumper, but I definitely don't fucking, you know, tie each of these things together, because it'd make me far too depressed, and then I'd be too consumed in myself, and that's probably part of the reason why I probably stay in my little cave, because I can't do too much in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put me out in the world, ooh, motherfucker, might go crazy. I thought it was interesting that, because I guess, you know, quote-unquote Christians, we're kind of saying how this is kind of similar to the biblical prophecy that, you know, to the end of times, you know, about the four blood moons, which, mind you, there are going to be four this year, and mind you, we've been fucking hollering since the very beginning that it's already the ending of it. I'm crossing my fingers this is it, though, because Lord knows I don't want to live with you that long. I really do hate it here. But yeah, I forgot what scripture they were tying to.
Oh, yeah, it looks like it says Joel 2:31 as evidence, which says the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes.
Hurry up, Jesus.
Which, once again, Black Jesus. J Electronica is here. That's the reason why. See, it all makes
sense.
Surprise
album drop, maybe?
Watch, that nigga album is gonna drop April 16th. And people ain't even gonna peep, they ain't gonna put two and two together. She ain't even know. If J Electronica drops a motherfucking Beyonce style album out of nowhere, read the scriptures, y'all. That's Black Jesus.
Yo, spreading
his message. 4 blood moons this year. So watch, J Electronica is going to drop the album this year, and it's going to be pictures of Black Jesus saying, "Ain't gonna let me, I told y'all motherfuckers."
To my prayer warriors out there, if we have any of you motherfuckers listening, please, in the spread that Yeshua hurries the fuck up, brings the goddamn mothership, and takes us the fuck out of here. Please, in his holy name, amen, because I want to get out this motherfucker. Ooh, I'm so suicidal, wow. Name it's funny. Yeah, I thought that was interesting, and I can't fucking wait. In honesty, I don't know. I wish I could meet other crazy biblical. I don't know what kind of sociopath I am, but I wish I could meet others like me, because I don't want to feel. I feel like I'm the only motherfucker. That's like, who else wants to meet this motherfucker? Like, I don't want to kill nobody. I don't want to kill myself, but I definitely want to get the fuck out of here. Lord Jesus, please hurry.
I'm telling you. That's why you need marijuana and psychedelics and lots of it.
I just need to be sedated and I need to fucking just glue myself to the couch and not worry about a thing. So I overthink too much. It sucks.
You know what? And this actually brings up something interesting. Me and Trav, shouts out to the big homie Trav Lord, who is currently out in motherfucking, or actually, I don't even know if I'm talking
about. He's in one of the sinning capitals of the world right now.
I'll just
probably
say
he's getting head from a transvestite, I'm sure. Hope he is too.
I'll just say that he's in New Orleans right now. I don't know if I'm supposed to announce the news, but he's out there in New Orleans, you know. But me and Trav had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and this is actually probably kind of a good segue with it. But we, me and Trav are very big into alternative medicine, alternative reading, and just kind of like the mainstream. You kind of can't trust the mainstream. You know, Fox News is going to tell you what they want to tell you to help the Republican Party. MSNBC is going to tell you what they want to tell you to help the motherfucking Democratic Party. Like, it's the whole fucking, it's all advertisers picking what stories they want to get out there. And that's the reason why I think the podcasting world is so beautiful, because you can have people who are not attached to advertisers, or people who aren't attached to organizations, who they can freely say however the fuck they feel about certain things, and you have other people who get to listen to it, then you'd be like, yo, you know what? I'm not the only person who thinks that way. But me and Trav was chopping it up, and I'm planning, if I get the balls to do this, because I'm still horrified, but I'm planning on, with my next income tax check next year, I'm going to spend my money and I'm going to the jungles of South America.
Yo, motherland?
No, not the motherland, not Africa. I'm not going to, even though that's down the line. Oh no, so my plan is to go to the jungles of South America, and I want to go to a ayahuasca treatment center, and I want to indulge in ayahuasca so I can open up my mind. I played it for the missus, Skips.
I'm afraid of what I'm gonna see.
Yo, and that's the thing, yo, cause fucking Amber Lyons is a, CNN, or she used to be a CNN journalist, and she's been one of the, big people where she was with CNN. She had this whole long, series on, not Benghazi, I forgot the name of the other country, but she had this whole story on this country in the Middle East is doing fucked up shit that we keep getting mad at Iran, because you motherfuckers are doing this, you motherfuckers are doing that, so we talk shit about Iran in the news all the time. And she had this story about this other country in the Middle East that's doing just as bad shit, and CNN kept blocking her from being able to put the story out, and what it came out to be was that country is an ally of America. And the reason why America is allies with them, because we could put war bases over there. They let us put whatever the fuck we want to over there. And so America is giving a pardon to these people for the fucked up shit that they're doing. And it goes back to, okay, well, we keep saying that we don't like Iran because they're doing this, but oh wait, we don't care when this country is doing that because they let us build shit on their land. And so she starts seeing the hypocrisy of mainstream media. So she left CNN and she's been talking about it a lot. And she's one of those people who, she's a square, blonde hair, blue-eyed, white chick who never actually, she was, oh no, actually I haven't used her as a dedication. Keep that in mind going down the line. And, she had, basically she's one of those people who had never did drugs or anything like that growing up. And, when she went on the Joe Rogan podcast, Joe Rogan is a huge, huge supporter of psychedelics and people needing to take psychedelics to get into their psyche and figure out what's going on with them. And, he convinced her to go out and try out ayahuasca. And she went out there and she detailed her story about what she experienced on ayahuasca. She said she was going through a lot of different issues and all that. And she went out there, she did the ayahuasca trip, and she said she heard this voice say, "Here we go." And she said she like blasted through like this computer code, was all over the place, and she could hear like coins dropping on all this. And then she said like this big
ball. Super Mario, what it sounds like.
Here she found the code in the Matrix. And so she went into this whatever realm, if you will, and she said she saw this big wall and spray painted across it said anxiety. And she was like, she knew she had been dealing with something, but she couldn't figure out what it was. And she said she tripped out, you know, she said she could feel like the anxiety in her skin. She could feel it like moving through her veins and all that. And she felt like some motherly spirit over her saying that it's all over now. And the woman sucked it out of her. And she said that she's been healthier and she's lost all that anxiety and all that. And what it comes down to is when you take those psychedelics, it takes you, it's not a, some high, you're not hallucinating, you're seeing what's in your fucking brain. And she was talking about how she saw all this shit from in her life that she completely forgot about but didn't know it was still in her psyche fucking her up. And so it helped her experience everything that was bothering her inside, and she got to face it head on. And then she said she was able to release it and she's in a much better place in the world. And me and Trav was talking, yo, as soon as we get the money, we're going to figure out a date. And me and Trav is going to the motherfucking jungles of South America. I've been studying this shit for like a year, year and a half now. I'm going to go get my ayahuasca on, man. I'm going to go unplug from the motherfucking Matrix. I'm going to come back Neo style with sandals. I'm going to be like, man, peace, love, and happiness, man. I've exited the Matrix, man. I took that fucking red pill. I went down a rabbit hole, so.
Yeah. Well, Lord willing, I would love to accompany, you know what I'm saying? Not only because I kind of, I want to put things inside of Travis that he doesn't want, but also because I don't know, I'm afraid of what demons would come out, honestly, if I open up my mind. Yeah. Fuck it in, man. You know, YOLO, as the young kids say. Yeah. YOLO.
See, and I'm telling you, because the thing that's crazy with this whole ayahuasca thing is that they've been using it over the past couple of years, and they did a documentary on it on Drugs Inc. where they're doing these studies where people who are like addicted to crack and heroin and all that, who they're trying all these different rehab techniques and none of this shit is working, they're going down to South America and they're doing ayahuasca and they're being faced with their reality that they hide in their subconscious, and these motherfuckers are coming back and not doing drugs anymore. Because they, whatever it was that was driving them to do this shit, is something that they were trying to hide from, and that's the reason why they're drowning it in fucking crack and in heroin and all this crazy shit. Then they're going down there, they're doing ayahuasca, they're facing it head on, be like, oh, so that's what was going on with me, and then it's released, and then they move on. It's sucking all the dark energy out of them. So I'm gonna get my alternative shit on, yeah. And I'm gonna get my balls. I'm gonna stop being a little bitch. I'm gonna go out there to South America and I'm gonna face what I need to face and unplug from the Matrix. And I'm gonna meet Mother Sophia, the goddess of the world. You know, shouts out to my Gnostics out there. And we're gonna see what the fuck is cracking. So.
Yeah, that's what's up. Actually, I don't know if I mentioned this to you. Well, especially because I was, you know, job hunting, which I ended up in the same goddamn place. But yeah. I tried sobering up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, life sucks, dude. Without change, soul can. You know what I'm saying? Without polluting myself with toxins, yeah. It's pretty gnarly, man. Life is intense.
I'm going to tell you why life is intense. I'm going to show you something. I'll be right back. I'm going to show you something.
Okay. Apparently, I guess I should keep talking. Mind you, drugs are bad, and anytime you do something of that nature, you're just polluting yourself, and it's just an escape somehow. So here, as none of us come back.
Oh, was that again?
Trust me, I know about vices. You see that?
Look at that. Look how empty that is. Now, mind you, to the public that are out there, Skips, who is his significant other, along with his babies, are gone for the week. So,
yes,
I'd imagine there's more bottles in the background, or we've been behaving ourselves, and that's just that.
No, this is one night of the Jack Daniels. I didn't put too bad of a dent in it, but I was like, yeah, I ain't got shit else to do, so I dove into my vices. I ain't got my medical marijuana card yet, so I was like, I'm just go ahead and cuddle up with Jack and get through these lonely nights. So yeah, I know about them vices, man. Motherfucker.
And it makes me want to talk with my lips kind of done fucked up.
And actually, I don't even know if I was on camera when I showed that, so in case the people didn't see what we're talking about Jack, they're going to be like, who over there, what the fuck are they talking about? So yeah, I get to Jack on that.
As far as we know, Arizona Burst is a very heterosexual man. has a lovely wife who's going to soon marry out in Sin City, and two beautiful babies. You know what I'm saying? Whether or not they're all a beard, only the Lord knows. But no, Jack Daniels, he's talking about is the drink. And mind you, I love making Jack and Coke. And one thing that I hate about my vices.
Yeah.
Not only how goddamn expensive they can be, shouts out to cocaine, how terrible the shit that they lead you to. Mind you, I'm more of a weed head, but what that does is make me, you know what I'm saying? And Lord knows, I gotta be fixed, I gotta be on my Superman shit, because Lord knows I wanna find me the perfect pale albino, not albino, but the perfect pale bulimic girl of my dreams, and I can't do that by being a fatty fat fuck, so I can't be smoking like the way, you know, it's just, it's an endless sort of thing, man, and our fucking vices, man, if anything, I'd fucking curl up with a nice pizza and a movie and just eat myself till I fall asleep and pass out in a goddamn diabetic coma. My kind of Friday, man.
That's the American dream. And see, this whole fucking drinking shit fucks up with me because I got sleep apnea. I'm one of those motherfuckers who sleep with the sleep app machine. I got the fucking thing on my face with the, I gotta sleep with a sleep mask every single night. And one of the main things they tell you when you're diagnosed with sleep apnea is do not fucking drink. You need to not drink. And
you'll be up.
Yeah, because you're
fucking yourself, man.
You don't get a restful sleep when you're drunk, and you especially don't get a restful sleep when you're going to sleep drunk and you have sleep apnea, which for the people who don't know, that means you stop breathing throughout the night. And like when I got diagnosed, I'm just under having extreme sleep apnea because I think I stopped breathing like 26 times an hour or something when I don't have the mask on. So I got massive sleep apnea, and I'm on fucking antidepressant medication. I'm on social anxiety medication. I'm drinking Jack Daniels every night. I'm on them vices, man. I know them vices, man.
God, Lord help us. Shit.
That shit is really...
My prayer wars up there. See, if all the more reasons to need Jesus and his goddamn mothership to get us out of this motherfucker, Lord, let it be now.
And shouts out to Little John, turned down for what? That's all I'm saying.
Why?
Speaking of not turning down,
blame it on our fucking ancestors, man. Goddamn.
Blame it on the ancestors. I came across this article and I really wanted to bring it up because I read this book about a year ago, and I think every person in the world needs to read this book. And I would go as far as to say that this book should be required freshman reading in college. And the book that I'm speaking about is Set at Dawn.
Did Darwin... No, is this just studies based on him?
This is... Well, basically, Darwin wrote... All we know about evolution and everything comes from Darwin. And so everything that we believe is part of the Darwinism or whatnot. But there's a lot of things that Darwin didn't quite have right. And one of the big things is how sex has evolved with our ancient ancestors and the reason why we are the way that we are now. And Christopher Ryan and his wife wrote a book called Sex at Dawn, and he discusses the evolution of human sexuality. He recently went over it again in a TED Talk, and this thing blew my fucking mind. And he just broke down the science of the reason why humans are not supposed to be monogamous creatures, and the reason why we're sexually the way we are, and the reason why there's so many fucking problems, and the reason why marriages don't last, and the reason why people cheat and all that, it's not because man ain't shit, it's not because bitches is hoes, it's because we're not designed to do this shit, and we've only been doing this shit for a small fraction of our whole evolutionary chain. And so I'm not going to read the whole article, but it's just one couple things in particular I want to bring up, and then we'll have the link on our website, IBHMpodcast.com, where you can feel free to read the rest of it. But he says that there is a standard evolution narrative inherited, no pun intended, from Darwin. The narrative claims that since the beginning of time, men have leased women's reproductive potential by providing them with certain goods and services, meat, shelter, status, protection, etc. And in its change, women have offered fidelity, or at least a promise of fidelity. And that is basically, that's the age-old story. It even is said in the Bible. Like, that's the whole thing, is that we've always come to know that men provide for women and women give up the pussy. That's basically what this is, right? And this goes back to Darwin, who created the theory of evolution.
Reason why we take you to dinner and get a bitch a drink, because we expect that trying in return.
Exactly. We provided the goods, and so now we want
the services.
Exactly. Now, so according to this narrative, the war between sexes is built right into our DNA, and this is according to him. But Christopher Ryan, in a much better and more eloquent way than I can ever explain, broke down in his book Sex at Dawn how it is completely incorrect. And he broke down by studying ancient ancestors and our closest genetic relative on the planet Earth, which is the bonobo chimp. He broke down how this is completely incorrect. And in fact, the war between the sexes is a relatively new development that got brought on by agriculture. Yes, people, agriculture changed the way humans have sex with one another, because agriculture arose around 10,000 years ago at its earliest, and anatomically modern human beings have been around for about 200,000 years. So we're talking about 5% at most of our time as a modern distinct species. So basically, what this dude broke down in this incredible fucking book that's starting to get some leeway, it's starting to, you know, rise up, is he broke down that our ancient ancestors were...
By figuring out how to lay pipe, we understood the importance of laying pipe.
Of laying pipe, exactly.
Sorry, continue.
He basically broke down that our ancestors were fiercely promiscuous. They shared everything, including sex. What he is saying is that the best way to mitigate risks in foraging contests, he said there's really no argument about this among anthropologists. He did the whole studies, and he says that our ancestors weren't having sex with strangers like the prehistoric grinder. Basically what it was, where we were a hunter-gatherer band, there were no strangers, so you knew these people in your entire life. So it was just a village of people. All y'all knew each other your entire life as you traveled and all that. And he says, yes, there were overlapping sexual relationships that our ancestors had, several different sexual relationships going on at any given time during their adult lives. And he's saying that they weren't having sex with strangers because there was no such thing as strangers. They were having sex with the people that they love, which was the village of people that they grew up and they were around with all the time. And so he basically just breaks down a whole bunch of the different things and just how sex is viewed and how we just really kind of fucked up the whole sex thing. And one of the things that he really broke down in the book, the reason why agriculture changed everything, because when we're a hunter-gatherer society, women were equal to men. Because it was the men, you know, would go out and hunt the deers and the meat and all that. The women would take care of the children. The men would come back and provide the food to the women. The women would cook it and so on and so forth. We just had this. We were on equal platforms. We were just as equal with one another. But when agriculture came up and the whole aspect of farming, that's when who was the leader needed to be more physical, because he had to man the land. So that's when men started getting more powerful within our social dynamic, and then they started using women as property, because it was, hey, I just spent all this time and energy making this farm, and so
I don't want to die and all this work go to waste. So I'm going to need my children to be able to take care of this land, because also during the hunter-gatherer societies, people didn't give a damn who the parents were. That's why the old age-old saying goes, it takes a village to raise a child. It was because literally people didn't know who the father was. Everyone just took care of one another. And then when you had the agriculture came in, the men were like, well, I want to pass this on to my children. So, hey, you woman, you need to stay in the house and not see anybody else, because when I impregnate you, I need to make sure that that is my baby. So when I die, my children could take on this land. Then that's when they started inviting slaves into it, because, hey, our farm is bigger than that farm. This farm that got too big for me and my kids to take care of. Let's go destroy that farm, bring those people over as slaves, and then we'll use them, so on and so forth. And so it was agriculture that created slavery, and it was agriculture that created women turning into property. And a lot of people are not aware of this, that it all goes back to agriculture. And Seth Zedon broke down the reason why men can't keep their dick in their pants, and the reason why women fucking grow old and they get over the man that they're with, they're no longer sexually attracted to. And it's just, it was a fantastic read.
It makes sense.
It just makes sense. Because a lot of times with a lot of things, I think looking back, we just don't look at it. We look back a lot of times at how we look at it from a modern point of view. But like, even like one of the things I always bring up is like the story you have, like the Frankenstein story and the vampire story and the werewolf stories. You have these ancient myths that for whatever reason stayed around for a long time. But let's go back in time to the mind of a not intelligent ancient person, something like a werewolf. What if it was someone who was genetically, because there has been people who genetically they grow hair all over their body. As a person being around thousands of years ago, you don't know genetically that happens every once in a while. So you see this person who is covered in hair and all that, you think it's some beast. And if this person is outcast and lives out in the forest or anything like that and becomes a cannibal or anything like that, you're going to try to explain that in the most logical way that you can and say, werewolf, oh, it was a werewolf. Now we get older and we look back and, oh, that was a myth. They didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. No, they're trying to explain something that they couldn't understand, and they explained it to the best of their ability. And instead of us looking back and trying to figure out exactly what they were saying, we just rule it off as, oh, that was myth. They don't know what they were talking about. And so we just kind of got to look at our history.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Yes, sir.
It's a damn shame. Well, yes, sir. And I think that's kind of why maybe, you know, now in hip-hop music we try to forget them hoes. And mind
some
you,
not love them hoes.
We can't be loving them hoes. And in turn, studies show that Alzheimer's do affect women more often than not. And I started cracking up when I saw you post the link. Obviously, very fucking serious. And I mean, everything has its, you know, it builds up, and every cause has its reaction or whatnot. But yeah, I started laughing when I saw that post on there. Just why that's relevant. I'm just kind of going with the stories that we have on here, but I saw that on there that women are high risk of all time. So for all the women out there who are hurt, who have just been through some shit and really don't know if they can ever, you know, can ever truly, truly forget, don't find love in a bottle. Don't find love in the next knuckle. Don't go out there and be trifling, because statistics show you're going to have Alzheimer's.
And eventually you'll forget it.
And you'll forget it all. So it only be those small moments of relapse, of fucking of clarity, where you'll fucking have a glimpse into, you'll have that so raven moment where you come back to reality, and maybe you might remember that, or maybe you just might hopefully remember your name. But women, don't you worry. Alzheimer's will affect you more often than anyone else. And men will have to live with the guilt of their shamefulness, but not you, ladies. So if anything, I guess, yeah, go hoe it up. No. The good Lord would want me to encourage you.
I'll encourage you. Women, go out and have one-night stands. Enjoy the penises that are being penetrating into your orifices. Enjoy it, because one day you will fucking forget it. So just enjoy life while you can. Life's too short to be thinking about shit other than fucking and having a good time. That's all we really need to focus on.
That's something that makes me happy. And it's the thing that gives me the strongest conviction. Why, Lord? Bah! Yeah, so we're getting technology to distract me, please.
Yeah, and speaking of Y-Lord and technology distracting us, that does bring us into the next story. I don't know if I like this story or if I'm terrified by this story, but Facebook is planning to cover the world with Wi-Fi, and they plan to do it with drones. Apparently, the Facebook drones are on their way as the world's largest social media network has unveiled a plan to blanket two-thirds of the world in Wi-Fi using a fleet of drones flown on solar power in a bid to connect billions still living without the internet in undeveloped regions. Facebook's chief executive Mark Zuckerberg announced this week that his firm had hired several aerospace and communication experts from NASA to contribute to the Connectivity Lab project. Facebook has also taken on five people from British companies and some other people. All that's not important. But Facebook's free Wi-Fi strategy includes not only drones, but also low Earth orbit satellites and even infrared laser beams to boost internet connection in remote areas. The plan is a part of Internet.org, an initiative launched last year by a coalition of major technology companies with a mission to bring internet access to those parts of Africa, Asia, and Latin America that remain offline. I love and hate this idea at the same time.
Lord, it's a takeover.
It's the takeover, brother. Shit. I mean, what obviously makes it sound cool, and especially for motherfuckers as ghetto as myself who doesn't have some wifi at the crib, mind you, I don't live in a third world country, I'd have to be a broke-ass motherfucker, is the fact that, you know, we can bring people closer, and, you know, it's good, and who the fuck wants to pay for internet? But then, motherfuckers can easily track you, and I'm pretty, there's too much work. My brain, it's frying. Because I haven't smoked. Fuck.
I like the idea because more people need the internet. I've said this before and I'll say it till the fucking cows come home. I think we're in a new world. I think that we are in the age of Aquarius. I think we're in the age of information. I think the internet is the greatest invention ever. Going back in time to democracy started and all that with the invention of the printing press. And a lot of people, like when it was invented, a lot of people kind of took it for granted and didn't realize how much it changed the world until like hundreds of years later. But the printing press allowed you to massively produce books and newspapers and all that. So information became more readily available. Like everybody had access to books. And it goes back to the whole controversy, if you will, with certain churches going back in the day and with Martin Luther. What's up?
I'm like, all that science.
Because going back to before the 1500s, the reason why there was always a lot of problems with the church, if you will, because a lot of people back then were illiterate, and that's where like the blind faith came from, because the priests and the popes and all the people who ran the churches, they were the only people who were smart enough to fucking read. So all the rest of the common folk, they couldn't read, and so it was blind faith of just believe in me that I'm telling you what is in this book. But then when the printing press came out, then there was more books out there for more people to read, and it was more of a reason for even poorer people to get a chance to learn how to read. And I look at the age of the internet, and I look at this as being the printing press of this generation, because now we're, again, in a situation where information is so readily available. And I do this all the time. I love my mom, but my mom is so old school with her way of thinking. And sometimes she'll say something that makes absolutely no sense, and I'm like, there's this thing called Google, and like you could just look it up to see if that really happened or not. And not to say that believe everything on the internet, but you could find sources that for and against different things. So you could do your own research and figure some shit out. And so I think that we're heading in a direction where I have the utmost faith in this young generation coming up that who are going to have always had access to the internet, because anytime they hear some bullshit, they can look it up and figure it out for themselves, and they don't have to go to the teacher, they don't have to go to the stranger down the street to get the information, they can look it up them fucking selves and figure some shit out. And so I think it's dope that we're moving into a realm where more people have access to the internet, but I still don't like them drone shits. And that goes back to that book 1984 when they were watching us nonstop. And it's like, it's Big Brother is watching you. And now this is more of a reason, because that's the whole thing. Once Facebook throws all these drones up there, how do we know which drone is Facebook? How do we know which drone is the NSA's? How do we know whose drone is who? How do we know that's not a Russian spy drone over here? Like, how are we going to know these things? So there's no good deed goes unpunished. So that's a fantastic idea. There's going to be just as much fucked up shit that happens with it. So
I see what you're trying to do there, and it's a grand help. But mind you, just how I feel, not to sound too biblical, but the mark of the beast is going to be with the Google glasses. And I don't know if you, and I think we talked about already that Google is going to have a electronic tattoo, which to me is just the mark of the beast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But once again, it's going to appear as this thing that, hey, this is a big help. Hey, this is a convenient sort of thing. Hey, we can all use this, but hey, we're all under control, monitored, and under the fucking the glass.
Yeah.
And it's funny how you say, you know, how the fuck are we going to know what the difference is? I had found a story about South Korea, how they found two crashed drones, which they're suspecting, you know, comes from fucking from North Korea. Obviously, we got some beef going on. Now, when I took a look at this picture, it kind of made me shit myself a little. I mean, I think there's a little bit of shit stains from the hardcore partying and falling asleep eating pizza from the night prior. But dude, this fucking drone looks like a god. Did you see the picture?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
It looks like the goddamn sky. Like, honestly, you really. Nope. I mean, that's some stealth right there. That's some fucking, like, truly, 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 would you not know this motherfucker was lurking around? Which, mind you, might make you feel safe because you don't really notice it. I mean, kind of like, you know, but damn, dude, I mean, right? You wouldn't know.
And that's that shit, because just like even this proves it right here, that we don't fucking know. And you have this situation right here where it was two fucking countries who have hated each other for some odd fucking reason. Probably somebody fucked somebody's wife a long time ago and they never fucking got over it, and they've been fighting for 100 years and they just forgot why the fuck they're fighting. But yeah, you got this situation where you got these drones and you don't know who this shit belongs to. And it goes to the fucking Amazon was talking about doing the shit with having drones deliver your packages. And it's like, no, motherfucker, I don't know whose drones these are. Like, I don't want these things flying all over the fucking place. We already got Google Earth, where you could log in and see any fucking part of the world in damn near real time. And then you're going to get these drones where we could get even closer, and you got an infrared shit where you could see through people's walls. And it's just like, technology is fantastic, but haven't you motherfuckers watched The Matrix and iRobot? Like, the robots win in the end because they're smarter than us. Mm-hmm. They eventually win. We're giving them the keys to the earth. And that might be evolution. That might be what it is. We may fucking 5,000 years from now, it's going to be nothing but robots on Earth, and they're going to be talking about their ancestors, the human, and how genetically inferior they were, but they evolved to make us men, just like how we look at monkeys as being genetically inferior, and how they had to evolve to make us run around. It's just like, I don't know, man. Shit is a motherfucker. Motherfucker.
Lord, take me on the spaceship and get me the fuck out of here. That's all I can say. Hurry up, J. Electronica.
Name this motherfucking episode Beam Me Up, Jesus. But
Beam Me Up, Jesus, please.
But speaking of
give me some drugs, something. I'm gonna forget it.
Yeah, speaking of Jesus and drugs, I thought this was interesting. I wanted to bring this up on the episode with you being a devout Catholic. I wanted to know your opinion on this.
Oh, no. I don't believe in these saints, but I guess because of my share of public sin, I guess I would be more Catholic than anything else. But there was a German custom seizes cocaine addressed to the Vatican. I know the Pope has some connects. What the fuck happened?
Yeah, apparently the Pope was looking to get turned up. And actually, let me not even say that, because they don't know exactly who it was. So it's unfair for me to just point the finger at the Pope. But it's his shit.
The Pope's actually a good guy.
Yeah, and I will say that. I think you're completely 100% on, because I'm people who know me, I'm anti-religion. And I don't have a problem with any religious beliefs. but I'm just me personally, I'm anti-religion, but this Pope, I really do like this dude. I like, he seemed like he got his head on straight, and he's lived longer than 33 days, so I think he's all right.
Yeah.
But,
And actually, really quickly, too, and this is just going to be me being the shit-talking Christian that the good Lord made me to be.
Yeah.
I don't believe in having to, this is my only beef with the whole Catholic sort of religion, because mind you, I love rules, I love how strict they are, you know what I'm saying? I love, give me a schedule, like a German train, you know what I'm saying? Give me a fucking schedule, give me the prayers to say, tell me the answers.
Yeah.
But I don't fucking like having to go, just kind of like when it comes to my weed, man, I don't like there being a middle, man. I don't like having to go through these things.
Yeah.
Give me the head honcho here. No, thank you, Jesus, I don't want to fuck with you, let me just talk to the Lord, thank you. So,
and that's not to get too.
Yeah, because I feel like we're just going to get deep into it.
Because you know me, I can get deep into it. It goes back to, like I said, and that's the reason why I've been so. And that's the reason why I got so fascinated with the Gnostic Gospels and with Gnostic Christianity, which was around at the beginning of Christianity. And that's the reason why I genuinely wonder if they had it right. Because that was their whole thing, was there is no need for a middleman. There is no need for a church. There is no need for a pastor. There's no need for any of that because God is within you. And the Gnostics were going around saying, fuck these laws. These laws is these people are trying to control you. They were like, fuck these churches. These churches are trying to control you. It was like, fuck all that shit. Get rid of all your worldly possessions. God is within you. Once you know thyself, you'll come in contact with the Lord. You don't need anything else.
I think Shakespeare actually wrote some shit like that.
Yeah, Shakespeare comes up too on the whole thing.
And then and that motherfucker, you know what I'm saying, was I'm pretty sure King James paid him up a pretty little penny to write the Bible.
Yeah. And
Let's talk about this cocaine, shall we?
So getting over to the cocaine, because that could be a 3-hour episode in itself.
Oh,
I know you're gonna have to go soon.
I gotta pick up the bitch.
So we'll go through this, but yeah, so German, apparently they intercepted a shipment of cocaine destined for the Vatican, and I guess this was back in January, but you know, it took a little while before they reported it, but officers at this airport out there in Germany found 12 ounces of drugs packed into 14 condoms. Now, real quick, there's so many jokes we can crack about fucking cocaine, lace condoms going to the Vatican, but we won't go there.
Lord knows they didn't believe in condoms.
But apparently the shipment came from South America, and they seized it, and like the Vatican is like its own mini state. It has like 800 people that live there, so there's no telling who was getting the cocaine. But I just thought this was hilarious that Pope and his people was getting ready to get turned up, and the Germans caught him. So weekend at Vatican's, man, we're gonna have a good time.
Oh Lord. And you know what I'm saying, he probably want to get real turned up, because I think the Passover thing is coming up, so he's like, you know, I'm gonna just give up. I better
don't get turned up.
Yeah, I better fucking ruin a goddamn a nasal passage, you know what I'm saying, just before, and that way I have some time to heal.
So I thought this shit was wild. And then what's this story that you posted? What is this?
Yeah, because when I saw that, mind you, I live, God, I'm just a weird motherfucker, and I love it. I love fucked up stories like this. When I saw that you had a story about the Vatican and cocaine, I figured, ooh, perfect. Well, because it just so happens that some Italian priests and a Canadian nun were kidnapped in, I don't know what this place is, that Cameroon? I should probably know, do some geography.
Somewhere studies. Africa, it says.
Yeah,
not immediately clear who took them to Nigeria. Okay, yeah, it must be somewhere in Africa.
That's kind of why in the link I put on there, some niggers stole some guns and priests. Because they were Nigerians. But I don't even know the whole, I mean, it's apparently some radical Islamic cats, which, mind you, power to you, my brother. I feel like that shit's needed, but shit can get really hardcore, man. I mean, and it comes down to, like, kind of the wars, and this is the fucked up thing that religion does, because we feel like we're serving a different God. Ultimately, we're serving the same one, you know what I'm saying? The universe is one, but we all have different paths on how to get there, and because we feel like our dick is bigger, it's gonna give us a fucking shouting match.
Exactly. And I'm glad you said that, because to clarify what I had said earlier, because I've been more vocal about it over the past year or so, but I always say I'm anti-religion, and a lot of people immediately take that as being atheist. I am far from fucking atheist. I believe in a higher power, in God, 100%, and not because of what someone else told me or anything.
But is it my God, though? Is it my God? Is it Yahweh, or is it Allah?
See, exactly, and that's my whole thing, is that I believe in God wholeheartedly just because of the experiences that I've had. Like, I just, my entire life, I've experienced this duality, this whole magnetism of good and evil and just different things, and just through my personal experiences, I'm like, yeah, I believe there's some, a higher power, and like I posted on Facebook this morning, until we know everything, we can't rule out anything. So even, you know, religious people, we can't say that there is no God, because we don't, or we can't say that there is a God for certain, because we don't know. People who don't believe in God, you can't say that there is no God without the shadow of a doubt, because we don't know. It's just, it's so much shit that we still got to find out. But like you had just said, this is my issue with religion, is that it takes away from God. The whole thing is supposed to be about God, and it takes away from God, and it turns it into us arguing who's right. And like Jordan Maxwell, shout out to Jordan Maxwell. He had a very brilliant story, because he broke down the same thing, where he's kind of the same way, where he believes in God, a higher power, but he's completely against a religion, and he's personally completely against the Bible, because he believes that it's just a story that you're supposed to get metaphors and different things from, but people get too literal with it. And he was breaking it down, like, he was like, let's say if we took the story of the tortoise and the hare. Everybody knows the story of the tortoise and the hare was in a race. The hare got so far that he got almost to the finish line. It was like, oh, well, I'm gonna win this. So he was like, I'm gonna take a nap. And then the tortoise, you know, had to take his time to catch up, basically, to the hare, and then he ended up winning the race because he was slow and diligent, and he ended up winning the race. And so the whole story of it is that if you stay strong, you keep pushing, keep moving, or whatnot, you'll eventually have things accomplished. You'll eventually accomplish things. And the people who just run head in and they're cocky and all that shit is gonna fall apart for them. And he was like, it's a fantastic story that we could learn a lot from. But he was like, what if we were to take that story and then start arguing, well, what color was the hare and that tortoise? Was it a land tortoise or was it a sea tortoise? And what so region of the world did they...
The details that lose grasp of the message.
Exactly. Fuck the details. Let's just take the message. And that's the reason why I've become anti-religion. Over the past fucking few years, I've been reading a lot, and I think a lot of people get too caught up in the details, and that is my opinion. That's the reason why also I don't disagree with people who are religious, because I don't think any of us, I don't think anybody's wrong. I think that we're all talking about the same person. We're just getting caught up on what his name is and where he's from and who's his chosen people and all that, but we're talking about the same person. It's just like languages. You know how you say home in English is different from casa in Spanish, and is different from this and it, but we're all talking about the same thing. We're just saying it differently. So that's my soapbox.
And part of me wonders, if I wasn't so lost in this crazy thing that we call religion, if I wouldn't be so obsessed with these pale Jewish women that I feel would make my child the chosen one, because I'm but a dirty fucking Gentile. I wouldn't
see, I'm trying
to think of such things.
Stan, I told you, them Jews is aliens. I don't believe in aliens. Them Jews is aliens. That's the reason why they the chosen one. That's the reason why they books say don't mix with other races. They want to keep their bloodline pure. They're not of this earth.
All I know is that if I find me a Jewish woman who I pray to the Lord will be very, very pale, so my babies can be nice and pale, that because the woman is the alien, it will be more alien than anything else, and I'll get beamed up with the rest of them, and bam, I don't have to be on this earth. Thank you,
Heaven's
Jesus.
Gate. Heaven's Gate. And speaking of not of this earth, because how much more time you got? Because I know we're getting close. How much time you got?
At least I got another hour and a half.
Oh, okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. So, okay. So, yeah, we're good. We're getting there, too. But I thought this was funny. We over here at the IBHM podcast have been covering this NSA thing to the best of our abilities. Neither one of us are college-educated journalists. So, you know, we handle it with our South Side perspectives, how we come at the NSA. Yeah, whoop, whoop. You know how we
Holler.
Holler. And I thought this was funny because first off, China got pissed off. China got pissed off and called out America for all the fucking spying because, and this is actually interesting. I wanted to bring this up.
Can you blame us?
I wanted to bring this up a while ago because this was a real big thing at the UN a few months ago, and it was just crazy because no one in America was talking about it because, once again, the American media tells you what it wants to tell you. But
We want you to keep buying, keep selling.
Pay attention to Kim Kardashian. Let's see what that booty's doing this week, which I'm not mad about. But we need balance, y'all. But
Nintendo, I'm straight.
Shouts out to the Nintendo. But fucking the UN has been getting on the US because this whole fucking NSA spying thing, it's not just affecting Americans, it's affecting the world. Like, literally,
we want everything.
We're spying on everything. And so China finally came out and demands an end to the USA spying activities after a new leak from Snowden. And shouts out to Snowden. That might be white Jesus. It may be two Jesuses, and black Jesus is Jay Electronica, and white Jesus is Eric Snowden. These
Lord
are
knows
our
I
heroes.
Believe in white Jesus. My racist ass.
Fucking China demanded the U.S. to stop snooping activities, stop its snooping activities of its NSA against Chinese officials and companies. And Beijing also asked Washington to explain the reports of the illegal spying. And it goes back to Eric Snowden came out with, you know, he left and went out to Germany with all that fucking information. And he went out there, and the story is he's only leaked 1%. Of the shit he got from there. And that's the scary part, is just the 1% that it's gotten out there. People are furious and we're upset. And that's not even a dent into the shit that he has. Like, there's no telling what other shit that he has, you know, hold up.
Why we want this motherfucker dead, and we truly can't trust what the fuck he's doing.
No.
Or what the fuck he tells us, at least.
See, and that goes back to the and that goes back to the fucking Assange dude. I can't remember his name, but the WikiLeaks dude, that goes back to him. And the reason why that motherfucker's camping out, because he was releasing a whole bunch of different documents. So a lot of people were like, oh, that's unpatriotic. But no, you want to know what the fuck is going on. Like, the whole foundation of America was brought on fucking a foundation of freedom and learning and understanding. That was the whole reason why the pilgrims came over here and enslaved black people and killed a whole bunch of Native Americans to promote freedom. It was because the whole thing was that the British government was doing a bunch of fucked up shit, and they didn't want to deal with none of that bullshit anymore. So they were like, we're going to start our own fucking nation and get away from this dumb shit. And then here we are a couple hundred years later, and they're doing the same thing that we did to get away from British. And so it's funny because Obama came out, and apparently Obama says that and it's funny because I always laugh. You can always tell when it's like a Republican or something that's commenting on Obama, because they get real fucking snarky in the little comments. But it says Barack Obama seemed to have suddenly remembered the oath he swore on his inauguration as president. It said that stuff about preserving, protecting, and defending the Constitution of the United States. At any rate, he announced that the NSA would end the bulk collection of telephone records and instead will be
required. I thought you were done this shit.
Yeah, and instead,
like, really, we're gonna stop.
Yeah. And it says apparently they will now be required to seek a new kind of court order to search data held by telecommunication companies. And I'm sorry, I'm still calling bullshit. I still just, and it's no offense to Obama. You know, a lot of people are turning this into an Obama thing. Like, oh, Obama's doing this and Obama's doing that. Look here, people, wake up. The presidents don't have any fucking power. They're a headdress. Yeah, he's the puppet. He's the face of the nation right now. And I don't give a fuck if it was John Kerry, if it was fucking Bill Clinton back again, even though that couldn't have happened. If it was Romney, if it was John McCain.
I think that's why Ron Hope, and I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
Democrat. I was gonna go Republican if it would have been Ron Hope, but he didn't have the Illuminati money to continue, and I think he might have been a trooper.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, is to become president in this nation, you need the right people backing you up. And so everybody wants to say, you know, oh, we get to pick who we want president. And yes and no, because it's only certain people that are going to be able to get that far to begin with. Shouts out to David Seaman, who's been real big on all this NSA shit, who he was a young man, 26, who was running for Congress in Florida to try to make some changes and all that. And after a year and a half of running, he realized that he had no fucking legs in the damn race because he can't raise enough fucking money to continue with these billionaires who are being paid by these corporations to keep their fucking whatever. So the shit is fucked. We're all gonna die. Whatever.
just follow the script.
Just follow the script. So yes, sir. And
we're gonna. I mean, and that's the thing too. I mean, we all want. Each country's gonna make the demands, and everyone's gonna see where they see fit, or go in where they see fit. Just how the next story that I had found was the whole Japan thing, and how they made this announcement. Because obviously, anytime someone makes an announcement, it's a big deal, it's a story. We look into it, we start fucking commenting on all this bullshit. But the story is that Japan vows to strike any North Korean missile. Obviously, we're against the North Koreans, as they deem as a fucking threat. So, mind you. They're just saying, hey, we'll throw some shit out, but only if, you know, if we see fit, if it's a threat. If it's gonna fuck with our shit, which, mind you, is just saying, shit out, but only if, you know, if we see fit, if it's a threat. If it's gonna fuck with our shit, which, mind you, is just saying, if you're gonna fuck with our connection, then that's when we'll jump into it. Mind you, I think we're kind of on the whole tip right now, since we're kind of siding with all the Syrian Russian bullshit.
I mean, and
I don't know if I commented on this before, if it's been an ongoing thing, but, you know, I think we might disown the aliens, and we're not gonna, you know, back Israel when it comes to, you know, whatever their shit is. So we'll see how this shit goes. I think that's what's gonna really push us into this fucking next war. But, you know, Japan's just letting us know, hey, we got our finger on the dial too. We'll press it when y'all start fucking with it. Not yet, but we got them bombs, nigga. We got them bombs. You know.
We got them bombs, nigga. Bombs over. Oh, I guess it won't be bombs over
Baghdad. It ain't gonna be over Baghdad. Sorry, Outkast. Not this time.
But it's crazy, because my whole thing with, like, fucking Japan is the reason why, or not Japan, Korea, North Korea, the reason why North Korea is so fucked up is because they're still using a political system that should have died out thousands of years ago, and that political system is still is running England and all that, and it's that whole fucking monarchy of that this family owns this fucking country, and so as they die, this next person comes in and takes heir. That doesn't give you the best leaders.
Ain't much hope.
Because sometimes you give birth to kids who are just fucking dumbasses, and those dumbasses, because Lady Luck rolled the dice and they came out of this fucking fantastic vagina that's attached to this lineage, it doesn't mean shit. Like, it doesn't mean that you can run any fucking thing. And that's the reason why all those ancient civilizations fell apart, because they realized that, oh shit, we can't just have one bloodline running shit, because that could be a stupid ass fucking bloodline. So North Korea needs to step their shit up. This is gonna sound, I'm not gonna go there. If they get wiped off the planet, I don't care. That is a dumb fucking way of running shit, and I don't wish any harm on any of the people, nothing like that. But because they are going to be the start of World War III. It's going to have something to do with North Korea, because they don't have their fucking shit together.
That's what it is. But I mean, I don't know. They're still surviving, and depending on, let's just start bombing, and let's just start doing it. And let's play the fucking, what's that game? I don't know if you ever played the game where you take a globe, you spin it, and wherever your finger lands, that's where you live at. And let's just do that and start throwing shit.
I mean, let's just blow them up and get rid of them. And yeah, it's just, once again, I don't advocate war, but just some mother. It's the whole thing too of like going to abortion. We had that conversation on abortion, and me, I'm against abortion in my life, of that I would never have the missus have an abortion and all that. If I didn't pull out that day and we got pregnant, then that's just that's the bed we made, and, you know, we're in there. But I do agree wholeheartedly that abortion needs to be legal, because it's a lot of stupid motherfuckers out there that do not need to be breeding. It's some dumb motherfuckers out there that we really need that bloodline to die off. Like, you motherfuckers are idiots over there.
The Lord hasn't blessed me with babies, but yeah. No, seriously.
That
I feel like, I mean, because obviously you have incest and all that bullshit. I mean,
yeah.
Mind you, it's a fucked up thing, and it's unfair for, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Everyone... That brings up a whole little political fucking bullshit too. But mind you, I mean, if it's that,
yeah, that shit is wild. But speaking of some other political bullshit that I thought was crazy, which kind of rocked my world, was that apparently this new report came out that Americans killed by cops now outnumber Americans killed in the Iraq War. It says, increase in police brutality in this country is a frightening reality. In the last decade alone, the number of people murdered by police has reached 5,000. The number of soldiers killed since the inception of the Iraq War is 4,489. It says, what went wrong in the 1970s, SWAT teams were estimated to be used a few hundred times per year. Now we're looking at over 40,000 military-style knock and announce police raids a year. The police presence in this country is being turned into a military with a clearly defined enemy, anyone who questions the establishment. If we look at the most recent numbers of non-military U.S. citizens killed by terrorism worldwide, that number is 17. You have a better chance of being killed by a bee sting or a home repair accident than you do by a terrorist, and you are 20 times more likely to be murdered by a cop than a terrorist. A hard-hitting mini-film by filmmaker Charles Shaw, properly titled Release U.S., highlights the riveting and horrid reality of the America's thin blue line. And so I just found that fucking crazy that by definition, you as an American are safer walking around in Iraq during the Iraq War than you are walking the streets of America because these cops is getting the fuck out of control. And a lot of it, like, I sympathize with cops because that's a fucked up job to have. To everybody's the enemy, and you got to kind of watch out who you can trust and get this motherfucking. So it's a fucked up situation, but it also comes down to another not conspiracy, I guess, not so popular opinion I have. It's too many people in the world. That's the reason why this fucking thing. It's too many people here. Crowd control.
And unfortunately, shoot first, ask questions last. That kind of has a bit to do with it too.
Because it goes to, you have the whole fucking thing we seen it at concerts. If there's too many people at a concert, this shit gets crazy. Same thing. If there's too many people on the earth, this shit gets crazy. And there's too many people on earth. We're fucking crowded. And I don't know. Shit is fucked up.
And I was thinking it was going to be kind of like a race thing, but I wonder from what time frame, though, because mind you, after so much time, bodies, they accumulate. So, I mean, I don't know how I feel about that study or that topic finding, because you wonder, after so many years, I mean, like I said, the body count's is going to continue to add up. Yeah. So how did that accumulate that, so...
And that is the thing, going back to what you had said earlier with stats.
Statistics, I mean.
Yeah, it kind of breaks down to who's taking the stats and how they're breaking it down. But if that is the case, that we're safer in Iraq than America, kind of shows what kind of police state that this world is turning into. So, and speaking of other things going on in society, which is kind of interesting. I saw this actually on Facebook this morning. I was like, yo, I got to bring this up on the show. It's was this meme, and it says the 10 shocking facts about society that we accept as normal. We prioritize money in the economy over basics like air, water, and food quality, our community, and environment. We use an economic trading system that facilitates the death of millions of people every year. We divide the world's land into sections, then we fight over who owns those sections. We call some people soldiers, which makes it okay for them to kill other people.
Fucking A.
We torture and kill millions of animals every day needlessly for food, clothing, and experiments. We send children to school for their entire childhood to memorize facts and skills that they will rarely use. We impose financial pressures on parents, causing them to miss out on vital stages of their child's development. We have thousands of religions, each one believing that their God or God story is the only true and unique version. Love and compassion, which promotes life, are mocked as facile. Nigga can't read. Facile, whatever, whatever. Factual. Whereas war, which harms life, is seen as honorable. Anyone with a really useful invention can forcefully prevent others from using or modifying it. That is the world that we live in today, and those are 10 things that we should kind of be upset about, but we more so take that as, yeah, that's the way it is. And that goes back to the whole thing why there's a lot of people who are starting to homeschool, is that school isn't about learning. It's about teaching kids how to listen to authority, how to memorize stuff. And it goes to the old thing of like you go to college and you become a member of alumni, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're smarter than someone else. It just means that you take direction better than these other people. There are certain people who are intelligent as fuck, but they have a hard time in school because they don't know how to take directions from other people. And so what do? We make them work at McDonald's and at other fucking minimum wage jobs and say, hey, you have no place in society because you don't know how to listen to other motherfuckers tell you what to do. You don't know how to memorize this shit that we wrote in this book that
we can't brainwash it the way we want.
We need you to be brainwashed, and you having this diploma proves that you can be brainwashed. So come work for my $1 million company and make me a billionaire.
Fuck.
So, okay. Yes, sir. So, before we get out of here, we got two more little topics. It's fairly little. It's just two little things to kind of bring up my point. But I'm a conspiracy theorist, and actually I've mentioned it before. I hate using the term conspiracy theorist because people automatically assume they know what conspiracies I believe in. Oh, he crazy. You just be wearing a tin hat, and you believe that we didn't get to the moon, and you in 9/11 it was staged, and there's
puppies in the microwave with tinfoil hats.
It's that wild shit or whatever. But I thought this was interesting. A couple of different conspiracies, if you will, that might possibly be something to it. There's an age-old story going back to Greek mythology of this god named Kronos. And I'm
we're freezing up there.
Oh, you still there?
Yeah.
Yo, see, they're going to have shit again, yo. We start talking about certain shit in the motherfucking show drop, yo.
Don't be expanding the mind of your viewers.
Yo.
Don't be giving knowledge.
Giving knowledge, man. We giving knowledge. That's how you know, yeah, shit is fucking up. And there's another little box. Like, we have the boxes here where I could rotate between who's on camera. There's another box that I can't fucking see.
There's, like, two boxes of you.
Yeah, and the other one is just a logo there.
Somebody's listening.
So anyway,
we live, all right?
We live and in the building. That's so
Kronos.
Weird. So Kronos is this god, and I think he represented, I want to say Saturn. I was trying to bring up.
I only know the word because I used to be a big God of War fan. Ooh,
exactly.
Video games.
Exactly, and that comes to, yeah, that's part of the whole Kronos thing. But long story short, this dude Kronos, he was the deity. Yeah, he was identified in classical antiquity with the Roman deity Saturn. And the reason why I bring him up is because he had a real interesting story where one of the stories was that where is it at? He basically didn't want his where is it at? I wanted to read it verbatim, but anyway, there's a story of that Kronos was a god, and he was a jealous god, and he basically didn't want his children to get stronger than him, so he would eat all of his children. And so this is an ancient story going back to the Greeks. Now, going back to what we said earlier about taking what ancient civilizations we're talking about. I'm trying to turn into another light. The Greeks and the Romans and all that, they really looked into the heavens and they believed that different planets were different gods. And that's what Zeus was, the planet Jupiter. And that's the reason why Zeus was their main god in their pantheon, because Jupiter is the largest planet in their solar system. And so they talked about Kronos eating all of their children. So let's look at that from a modern perspective. What if what they were trying to say was that this other planets that were in our solar system were hitting other planets and getting devoured by them? And what they thought was a planet eating other planets, it was just them watching collisions of planets hitting one another.
Fucking man.
Now, let's take that over to one of the biggest conspiracy theorist stories that's been going on, and this is what a lot of people thought had to do with 2012, is the Nibiru story of basically the Nibiru cataclysm is a supposed disastrous encounter between the Earth and a large planetary object that will take place, a lot of people believe, in the early 21st century, and a lot of believers believe this doomsday event is usually referred to as the planet Etz or Nibiru. The idea is that a planet-sized object will collide with or pass by Earth in the near future and is not supported by scientific evidence and has been rejected as pseudoscience by astronomers and other people. And basically this whole Nibiru thing is, and it goes back to Zachariah Stechen and some other people, it goes back to the whole ancient alien theories that there's this planet that is also in our solar system that has a very long, like Earth, our years are 365 days because it takes 365 days to orbit the Earth. And there's a... go ahead.
Isn't it the sun?
The Earth orbits the sun. It takes 365 days, so that makes a year. And then the story is that there's another planet in our solar system that takes a much longer course to go around, and that's the reason why we don't see it, and it only crosses us every, like, 2 to 10,000 years, and that's what some of these ancient people were talking about, and that's where human life came from, and that's where the gods came from, was the last time Nibiru passed Earth was, like, 10,000 years ago. And that's where the Egyptians and that's where the Sumerians came from and so on and so forth. And so the story of Nibiru and the planet Etz is that this thing is roughly four times the size of Earth and that it passes through its course and that there's this whole geomagnetic whatever and all this shit. So anyway, it's a conspiracy theorist wet dream, and a lot of people also bring up the fact of if you look at the solar system, you have, you know, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and then you have Mars. Then you have this very large gap and then you have Jupiter, and a lot of people are like, well, there's enough room for there to have been another planet in that area, or there's enough room for something to pass through that. And a lot of people say that's where the moon came from. There was another planet there, and then something else hit it and it broke, and that's where the asteroid belts and all that come from, so on and so forth. Now, I say all of that to say this. I thought this was extremely interesting. Scientists may recently have just found planet X. And so I know the conspiracy nerds out there, this is their wet dream come true, but apparently astronomers have found a new dwarf planet far beyond Pluto's orbit, and it suggests that this distant realm contains millions of undiscovered objects, including perhaps a world that is larger than Earth. This newfound celestial body called 2012 VP113 joins the dwarf planet Sedna as a confirmed resident of a far-flung and largely unexplored region scientists call the Inner Oort Cloud. And so basically you have the different regions of, you have the area where Earth and Mars and all of us are at, then you have the gas planets of Uranus and Saturn and Mercury or Jupiter and all that, then you have the outer region where you have Pluto, and you have it's like Pluto and it's what the fuck else is over there? Neptune. So you have those planets that are way over there and all that. And now scientists have been trying to figure out, because Pluto has a massive asteroid belt in its area, and with how gravity basically works, all those asteroids that are by Pluto should be coming closer and hitting Earth, or hitting Jupiter should be coming this way, but something is keeping them far away. Something's gravity is pulling it in the opposite direction, and they believe that they may have found the planet that is pulling them all over there. And so it may not be a solar system with 8 planets. We may actually have 10 or 11 planets, and a couple of them are just in a much wider realm of circling around the sun and the Earth. And so yeah, we may have found planet X. So we may have found what the fuck these ancient people were talking about with these gods and these aliens reaching us. We may have found it.
We can't wait.
That this might be the spaceship that you're waiting on, man. This might be what's coming is when this motherfucker come by. And just imagine if there is possibly life on there. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, how many light years away is it? Because if they are way bigger, you'd imagine that the gravity's gonna be way denser. And if that's the case, yes. I mean, imagine how bigger these motherfuckers are gonna be. They could just shit on us.
Exactly. And that goes to the story of we talked about that in the Bible. Is going back to the story of Noah's Ark. With Noah's Ark, it talks about part of the flood was that God was getting rid of all the, basically the humans who weren't like humans, and they were wiping away all those fucking giants that were around. And so what if those giants came from another? And that was the other thing with Noah's story, is it talked about how the angels and the earthlings, or the angels saw the earthling women as being beautiful and started mating with them and started having these gigantic babies and all that. Might be some motherfuckers from this planet. I don't know.
What kind of it makes me laugh. And it was seen as comical. I'm a big Kevin Smith fan. He had made a movie. I don't know if you fucked the movie Dogma. He was brought up Catholic, so there's a lot of Catholicism origins in there. But he was referencing how, imagine, and I don't think it would make sense, you know, after all this mating, you know, with the angels, which I'm pretty sure were seen as gods, and probably would explain why, you know, they were praised and why they probably became so many different views. Because honestly, you tell me I'm pretty, you tell the bitch she's pretty, she's gonna be conceited. You make a monster with conceited. So I would imagine that an angel who knows that there is a God would see himself as God, being an image of him and whatnot. You know, with certain praise. So mind you, I'm pretty sure, you know what I'm saying, as they say, the devil used to be an angel himself. So mind you feel yourself enough, you know, you want your own empire. You know what I'm saying? But classic story, fucking Scarface went from a fucking being a little schmuck to wanting his own fucking empire. You just want it all. Anyways, in the Dogma thing, they reference about how, you know, they, angels then became, I don't want to say inanimate, but they pretty much had no way to fucking pass alcohol and no way to fucking fuck. So pretty much they were unable to enjoy the sweet nectar of what is drank and smoking and the great pleasure of fucking. Like they were lost in that. Because I would imagine if they're making all these fucking freakazoid babies, I mean, you know what I'm saying, it's going to start an imbalance in the fucking world. So I mean, that would make sense why they'd be out, why they need to flood of such wickedness, such abominations, and all this interracial mating.
If you want to add to conspiracy, like we were saying earlier about the Jews being the chosen ones and the Jews being aliens and all that, and let's just say that there is this other planet that's in orbit that comes close to us every 5 to however many thousands of years, and like you said, the angels eventually believe in themselves as gods. What if one of those aliens came down here, they genetically created the Jews, and then that was the whole thing, don't mate with these humans because you're not like them, you're the chosen people. And what if the Jews aren't talking about God? They're talking about aliens. Dun, dun, dun!
Mind blown.
Mind.
And that would explain, like, once again, my fascination and my lust for such intimacy.
So on that note, I guess it's about that time, y'all. It is, of course, the time for a lot of people's favorite part of the show, and that is dedication. And I am. You want to go first? You want me to go first? Would you?
You go first. How about you go first?
Okay.
Because honestly, like usual, I don't try to put too much thought into it. But I have a real world dedication. And then there's a semi celebrity dedication. So depending on what you choose to go with, will allow me to choose. Mind you, I'm just a fucking mindless follower that goes by what the shit says in the Bible.
So I had one.
Okay.
You got two.
No.
You want me to keep
it? No.
Okay.
No, I want you to pick one because the one that you pick will allow me to know which one I get to pick.
Oh, okay. We'll do that then. So my one dedication this week goes to who I would like to call one of the, we'll consider her one of the baddest bitches in America. And the reason why I consider her one of the baddest bitches in America is... It's a bold statement, and a lot of people may disagree, but there's a method to my madness, as always. I consider this one of the baddest bitches on Earth in the sense of that she is gettable. I'm not saying that she's the most gorgeous thing on Earth, but she is definitely gettable. I would beat those guts up in a heartbeat. But also, because she is a prominent woman in the business world, and that she is the heir to a mighty, mighty dynasty, with it being this time of year, for all my people who know that I am a professional wrestling head, it is WrestleMania weekend, WrestleMania 30 is tomorrow, and this episode I dedicate to the heir to the WWE dynasty, Stephanie McMahon. Is my dedication for this week.
I haven't seen her in forever. I would imagine she'll beat the fuck up by now.
No, I will give it to her. She's very taken. She's taking care of herself, and she's like, it's funny because looking back at like the old when she first came out during the Attitude Era with the DX and the Stone Cold and all that. I look back now. I have a hard time looking back at her then and like having a crush on her because she kind of like looks so fucking young. I feel like a fucking pedophile checking her out. But she is taking care of herself and she's
hell no.
She's taking care of herself and she can get it. She can get it in a New York minute, which means very quick.
Right.
And once again, with it being WrestleMania weekend and with her being the heir to the mighty, mighty WWE dynasty, I dedicate this episode to Stephanie McMahon. And I hate to say it, but hyphen Helmsley, since she's married.
Actually, oh God, how old is this picture? I'm actually looking, Google imaging her. I'm looking at one of her in Triple H from back in the day. She was hella bad back in the day.
See, and I have a hard time checking her out.
What are you talking about? I don't understand.
I love, because my thing with, I think the baddest, like, I'm, and we've talked about this before, because I hate twerk videos. Like I said, if I've seen one fat ass, I've seen them all. And it's the thing that drives me crazy is like a business classy woman. Like, it's to see a woman in like in a professional manner. You can get it. And she can get it.
Okay.
I would tame that beast. I'm just saying, I would tame that wild beast. Fuck Triple H. She need to get with a real man.
Oh, so is that who she's with?
Yeah, they're married. They got three kids together. Like, that storyline turned out legit. They end up... And it's actually funny because I just, once again, been watching the WWE Network, and they got a whole documentary on the rise of Triple H or whatnot, and they talk about that whole story and how they went to the Stephanie McMahon story where Triple H drugged her and they got married and then the whole story and all that. Yeah. And they weren't talking at that time, but during that storyline, they genuinely start to like each other because, you know, when you're doing these stories together, you're on the road 300 days out of the year, you're riding with this person that you're on camera with, and they eventually started hooking up, and it turned into a real legit thing, and they turned a storyline romance into a real life thing, and yeah, they're married with three kids, and Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are the heirs to the WWE dynasty, and they are the ones who are going to guide it into the future, if you will. And so, Stephanie McMahon, if you want to get with a real nigga, holla.
Now this makes the fucking just put your hands up and let the dick drop to the flow. Just fucking in it. Just make it go. Now, I was gonna gear towards an IG fascination of mine.
Do both.
But if you're gonna go fucking corporate with it. To me, the all-time... It, now, mind you, you are definitely an avid WWE fan, and you picked it right there. Honestly, she was my crush back in those days. Like, I don't know if it was, because actually it's so funny you mentioned, I do remember that episode, or that episode, but I do remember when they had their own little love triangle thing, and I do remember when she was like drugged up backstage, and it was fucking literally dragging the bitch. I'm like, damn, fucking, this isn't fucking goddamn date rape, I don't know what the fuck it is. But, since you picked an heiress, to me, I mean, if we're gonna play it that way, and I hope I don't, because when I typed in her name on Google, I found some old bitch, so I think I'm saying it wrong, but Donald Trump's daughter, I don't know if it's Ivanka or if it's Ivana Trump,
what is her name?
When I put in Ivana, it brings up some old looking bitch, so I don't think it's her, that might be her mama. Mother.
What is the name?
I know it's Ivana.
Ooh, hey, I saw some pictures. Oh, Ivanka. Is it Ivanka?
I don't remember seeing her on The Apprentice, though. Shit, and I used to follow her on Instagram, but I got, you know, I get with this, you don't follow me. It's it is Ivanka. And why the fuck I would think some multi-billion something heirs would follow me back? I have no idea, but I get hurt really easily if I followed her. But yeah, she is, to me, she's fucking gorgeous. Not only is she a fucking a witty, but goddamn, like, just goddamn, that's all I can say. I would probably fucking tongue the devil's balls to be able to be inside of Ivanka Trump. But mind you, I respect her because she's just, not besides her being ungodly sexy, is, she's just a strong business bitch, yo. And there's nothing more, honestly, like, you show me all the ratchet pussy in the world, and, you know what I'm saying, even though Juicy J said that, you know, he can't say no to ratchet pussy, there's something about a business, I mean, she's just business. And honestly, even in her most conservative fucking Republican fucking leisure suit, you know, outfit that she can be in, she's ridiculously gorgeous.
Yeah.
And there's something about her that makes me fucking plead and fight for approval. But yeah, I mean, if you're gonna go corporate with that, I really wanted to do my geeky one, but I'm gonna save it for the next episode. Hopefully the next episode comes soon. If we're gonna do this shit weekly, I'm hoping we do this shit again next week.
Yeah, we should be able to, and hopefully, shout out to the big homie, Trav, who, like we said, earlier, the original plan was to have Trav come on this episode, but, he doing it real big, motherfucking, doing some press out there, you know, in New Orleans, so I ain't mad at your boy, and, if he's, available next week, then yeah, we'll definitely get him on, and regardless if not, shit, we gonna be back next week to do some more motherfucking Bobby HM podcast type shit.
Woo! I fucking hope so.
Woo! Is that your Ric Flair? Is that your Ric Flair?
I'm on my Ric Flair shit.
Woo!
I'm telling you.
Alright.
And so, I guess on that motherfucking note, we will call it a motherfucking show. And so once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, topics you want to hear us talk about, musicians, producers, want to have some of your music featured on the website, email us. You can find us on the web at Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, Podomatic. Just add IBHM Podcast in the appropriate spot. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Spreecast. Just search. Oh, wait, no, not Spreecast. Google Plus. Yeah, I got it. This is all typo. Yeah, fuck Spreecast. Just search. I'm Black. He's Mexican.
Yo.
If you niggas is too lazy to do any of all that, just simply head over to the website, IBHMpodcast.com, and you can find all of our links there.
How simple. How simple. We live in a very, we need shit simple. We need to be spoon fed this shit. So thank you.
Keep it simple. We keep it simple over here. And so, once again, I'm Black. He's Mexican. If you don't like this podcast, you must be racist.
God damn racist.
Until next time. Whoa! Thank you.
We'll be right back.